Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want a cup of joe with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore! It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, Episode 9 of Season 3. I'm your host, Jeff D. Lowe, joined by Ken, Jack, and Gooch momentarily. On this episode of LCB, we're talking movie news, movie and TV news. Obviously, Taylor Swift, because we need your clicks. But seriously, she did blow up the box office this past weekend. Also, Loki. Talking Loki, pretty great show so far. Season 2 from Marvel. Our hot takes of the week, our streaming picks, and we reviewed the movie Fair Play on Netflix. Enjoy. All right, movie and TV news time here on Lights, Camera, Barstool. Jeff D. Lowe, Ken, Jack, and Gooch coming at you. Make sure if you're watching on YouTube, you hit the subscribe button, subscribe to the channel, like the video. You can see the future things we're dropping, whether it be show reviews, movie reviews, news, drafts, rankings, tiers. Let's get into it off the top. Buddy, we need clicks. Let's talk Taylor Swift.
Let's go. By the way, Jeff, I don't know if you saw, but when you introduced Gucci, you pointed at his Bengals hat as if they don't have the same record as DTR and Jerome Ford.
We don't have to make this all about football, but again, this guy makes one fucking Super Bowl, man, and it's unbelievable. Patriots fans are less cockies.
Win the division one time, Jeff. One time.
You're the same record as, again, DTR and Jerome Ford. This is not
unbelievable. This guy, unbelievable.
I love
Kentucky football. Kentucky football is better than the Bengals right now.
Oh, Kentucky football is absolutely not better than the Bengals. Oh, God. Fucking Mizzou.
Congrats. Yeah, congrats on recent success with the Bengals to get to 500. But well over 500, Taylor Swift, $128 million globally with her theater release of her concert movie, highest grossing concert film ever. That's not very shocking. This one got me very good. I didn't know this until Gooch sent it in like the notes about what we were talking about today. And it said ties Joker for largest October opening weekend of all time. I don't know why it's like, that's so funny to me.
Well, you know, the Joker fans are, they're livid about it for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, they're like, mad.
Joker
fans are also mad about people having fun. No doubt. You know what I mean? True. Like, cause they see all like the Swifties going nuts, doing like the big circles and shit in the theater, screaming and yelling and all that shit. And they're like, this is downright disrespectful to the process of a movie theater. Like they're getting pissed off at people having fun. No doubt in my mind. They want people like dead silence watching that stairwell scene.
Shouldn't the horror community be like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, I know it's the biggest star in the world, but like the horror community should just own October. October, every record and thing in October should be horror related. But no, it's Taylor Swift and the Joker. People were talking online. I think people were trying to get takes off and rile people up and get clicks about there are videos of fans in the theater singing and dancing. It's a concert movie.
So it's exactly the experience that was designed for.
Honestly, if you go to a Taylor Swift movie and you complain and are mad about people singing and dancing, you're the weirdo.
Exactly.
Like, you are the weird one.
Yeah. I was one of the people siphoning off clips, by the way. I made a blog and I titled it like Taylor Swift fans have turned movie theaters into cult sites as they worship the false god.
That's and, funny,
like,
though.
They clicked in and then I'm just like, yeah, this is kind of exactly the experience it's made for. And I kind of want them to do it for other stuff. Like we had talked about it before. Like if they did this for the Super Bowl, I'd be there so quickly. Like it'd be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, this shouldn't be a problem as long as it's not affecting like other people
exactly.
at the movies, you know, like a theater next door or anything. Then I don't understand what the problem should be. Like, it's they're all there for that.
Why don't they crank the
honestly?
Lights? Why aren't the lights on during something like that? Where it's like you don't.
I kind of like the lights off.
But I think it's more if you're like an experience. Well, I guess maybe it was more if it was going to be like a Super Bowl type of thing. But like, I would think the lights should be on. So it's like, hey, you're not in that type of movie theater experience. You know what I mean?
But I didn't give out like wristbands, like those like glowing wristbands. I'm sure it's an expense. That's too much. But I was kind of surprised like they didn't give that out.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I didn't get to review Exorcist Believer with you guys.
Oh yeah,
we didn't get to review it either.
Didn't review it either.
Oh, we reviewed Totally Killer instead. We just kind of like glanced over Exorcist. It's like, what's worth talking about with Exorcist? It's just like the most. I don't know.
Exorcist Believer is
free, man.
See, I don't know you. You guys both kind of landed on? You didn't even hate it that much, right?
I was just like, this is very like. Mediocre is the wrong word. It's below mediocre. It's just like not worth being totally mad about, but also not worth going to theaters to see.
Oh, see, I fucking hated it. I gave it a 19 out of 100. I hated it. Like offensively terrible that they released that movie and they made that movie. If I can hear the Taylor Swift fans singing along and it's drowning out Exorcist Believer, then be my guest, baby.
Something funny. My friend went to see Saw X last night, and she was like, yeah, you could just hear the Swifties next door the entire time. You're watching Saw X.
Yeah, what do you call it? You didn't like the part in Exorcist Believer? Chris McNeil was like, I think it's that damn patriarchy. That's the problem.
the callbacks for the original. Also, I started rewatching Eastbound and Down because David Gordon Green, who did that, is directed Exorcist Believer. Obviously, David Gordon did all the stuff with Danny McBride. And he's going to be tied up in horror franchise since 2018 because he's doing Exorcist Deceiver next.
Deceiver?
Oh, yeah.
Exorcist Deceiver comes out in 2025.
Jesus Christ.
Crazy. And he's like, he's about made like some...
1983 Mets or something.
David Gordon Green hasn't made an insane amount of great movies, but he's made some good comedies. He's made, like, Pineapple, but made a couple of decent movies. He made a great Criterion movie, George Washington, great movie. But, like, man, to tie someone up like that, and that's been a discussion recently, too. Our friend of the show, Kirk Minahan, we were talking about Nolan. He's like, do you really want, like, Nolan? Now, I'm not comparing David Gordon Green to Christopher Nolan, but, like, still, he releases good stuff. And you're going to have him tied up in horror franchise since 2010, did 3 Halloween movies, 2 Exorcist movies. That's 7 years of that. It's like, do you want these like people tied up in these things? Like, do you want Nolan tied up for 6 years with Bond movies? I say no. Like, no thanks.
Yeah, it's with him, I'd much rather him being doing comedy, especially because the record for him with horror is not that great. Look, he did the really good Halloween original one, the first one in that reboots trilogy, whatever, great. And then the second and third one were ass, and now this was ass. And I was like, come on, I think you got your rocks off doing horror. Go back and do some comedy, man. It's like, this is what your real special, like, and not only that, right? Because when you go and look at some of those HBO comedies he did with Danny McBride, a lot of them are still considered almost like hidden gems. Like, people are like, oh my God, you're watching Eastbound and Down? That's fucking, no one's watched this, or Vice Principals, or any of these. Go do more of these and let HBO bump you up more. Even Righteous Gemstones. Like, that's 3 HBO things that, like, didn't really get enough play in, like, the mainstream. Like, he should be going and getting one that gets, like, that big main play on the main stage for HBO, I think.
Just not hit. I hated Exorcist Believer. Holy shit. And I didn't know until I looked it up. I guess, Gooch, you knew it. When I looked it up just to kind of see his filmography, and I saw Exorcist Deceiver.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I saw that come across the timeline and, like, was laughing. I thought it was a disbussing film instead of, I was like.
Yeah, it does seem like a joke.
Yeah, I was like, no way.
My Tom Seaver joke was so wrong, by the way. I was like, oh, yeah, that guy played in the 80s Mets. Nope.
Not even. Nope.
That was wrong.
That was a real... you say Exorcist? Oh, yeah, Exorcist Tom Seaver. Yeah.
Exorcist Deceiver.
Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
Exorcist Reliever. Glass breaks.
Mariano Rivera comes out. Enter Sandman plays.
Yeah.
Got
Yeah, so Taylor Swift, though, taking over theaters. That's good. I mean, and, hey, good thing Exorcist moved away. Next thing out, though, is Killers of the Flower Moon, which I already got the old tickets.
Mm, that's right. I still need to get mine.
I'm seeing it Thursday. Dolby.
Gonna be seen with the olds here in Orange County. I mean, I go to an olds theater here in Orange County, like big time old people, Seal Beach, California. They don't work. They're retired, or they have so much money they don't do anything. And I buy these tickets and I go to the theater. I'm like, holy, it's packed. It's noon on a Friday. It's like going to the old theater in Manhattan. We used to go to a retirement one as well.
You're taking your Orange County chopper there. I love the idea of you on a motorcycle, like an old big ass Harley. yeah, exactly.
When those memes popped off, not enough people appreciated how great that show used to be.
I never watched an episode of it, but I so vividly remember like their version of what's the Rick Harrison? Like they had a Rick Harrison in that show. He was pre Rick Harrison.
So that show was. Orange County Chopper was significantly less trashy and stupid than Pawn Stars. And I love Pawn Stars. I loved it. But like they were making some great fucking bikes. Like, dude, and I love Pawn Stars, but the Pawn Stars, they're such phonies. They're just like, that was my dad's favorite show. When that show first came out, but he said it always just bothered him. It's like Rick would be like, George Washington was our first president of the United States. Yeah, like, the way he would explain, like, and then like, you know that eventually,
Harrison? I know you didn't know that.
Eventually they would like Big Hoss. They were like, we got to make him look less dumb. So they'd feed him lines too. Yeah. And Chumlee was explaining. It's like, stop.
Chumlee, he would read the most like dumb jokes. You know what I mean? Like in the beginning, I feel like it was kind of organic, like his stupid lines, but then like he would just be reading off crappy jokes. And it was just so boring.
So excited to see that movie though. I mean, it's for me at least. I know you guys liked Oppenheimer, not to level I did, but like it's like, all right, is it gonna beat it? And it seems like there's a chance.
There's a lot of buzz.
Reviews are high enough. I'm very, just like Oppenheimer though, I'm very, very intrigued to see what the audience reaction to it is. Because Scorsese can be divisive. The movie is very long. Like what did The Irishman open up at?
I don't remember.
Box office was
forever.
No. Irishman was
yeah, Netflix,
right to Netflix. But what did it open up audience score? Critic score, 95%. Audience score ended up being 86%. But like, it's one of those things like the length you could see. I'm just curious to see what audiences generally think of Killers of the Flower Moon when it comes out. I'm going to guess that the three of us really like it. I feel like that's a fairly, I don't like saying that to people like, oh, you pre-liked it. Like, I just think history is on the side of us liking a Martin Scorsese movie.
Yeah, I can't believe you went in with positive expectations for a Martin Scorsese movie.
This one, I feel like, let's be fair, there's a good chance we're going to like it. So yeah, we'll review that next week. Variety confirms that none of the DCEU Justice League stars will reprise their roles in James Gunn's DCU, which is just not surprising.
Yeah. Although it was weird, they added it like a byline. Or like, it was like a throwaway line, basically. You know what I mean? Like, they were talking about that... Jason Momoa dressing like Johnny Depp to make fun of Amber Heard. It's like, that's just what he dresses like,
that,
dude.
He just dresses like that.
Yeah, he's dressed like that the entirety that I've been aware of Jason Momoa, he is dressed like Johnny Depp. But yeah, so like it was like a throwaway line and then like, oh, by the way, none of these people were returning. Like, that should be its own article, no? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, the whole article, not to shit on Variety, but Variety does kind of get shit on sometimes. But it was very fucking hacky. But that line in there was, I guess, made it worth it. Like, finally we got confirmation. I'm surprised we didn't get it sooner. I mean, once Henry Cavill is out, like, if you bring any of these other people back, like, it's just kind of, I don't think the fans are going to be receptive to that. What?
Yeah, he's like the best one. It makes
sense. He was the one the fans obviously resonated with the most. So, like, bringing back, like, someone like even Gal Gadot, even though she has a fan base, like, people would have hated that. Ezra Miller, obviously, I don't think there was any shot he could come back. Ben Affleck, like, I think he's just done with it. Like, so yeah, no, it's nice to get this confirmation and finally we can like look ahead.
Yeah. Move on.
There is a chance he did dress up on set to like purposely look like you. But if you, you guys raised a good point. If you just Google Jason Momoa red carpet, most of his looks.
Exactly.
He does look like he's cosplaying as Johnny Depp.
Exactly. It's been well before any of the trial stuff or any of that.
Yeah, all that stuff about the Aquaman 2 set also was just pulled out of Amber Heard's therapist notes that were
revealed. Yeah, which is a wild source.
Yeah, revealed during like the case, like you know, a year ago. So like, I don't understand why, I don't understand where this article came from.
So apparently, and I remember this is at least what I saw in the article, is like Johnny Depp fans, like they bought the release basically of the notes, and like that's what they got it from.
Oh, okay.
I used AI image creator to make Jeff riding an Orange County chopper to the movie theater.
Holy shit. It
doesn't look bad, except they made you chat it up. I'm going to have to post this later.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't really have much on Aquaman at this point and the DCEU. It's like none of this stuff's surprising. We expected all of this. But I guess maybe I do have something on Aquaman is I cannot wait to see how this does at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
What, like, talk about ethering your movie. Like, for as much as they pumped into The Flash, like, they're doing everything they can to make sure nobody cares about Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, which, again, as prediction, got to think they find a kingdom that nobody expected them to find.
Yeah.
And they turn it into,
that's a big one. We're going to calm down with that.
Spoiler.
No, that's a good prediction there. All the writers and directors on Marvel's upcoming Daredevil Born Again were let go. A lot of where there's smoke, there's fire. Sometimes with these Marvel things, you're like, can it be that bad? Is it really that bad? Will it be bad? Like, are people exaggerating? This one does seem like a lot of smoke. A lot of smoke that things are not great with Daredevil. They're looking to creatively reboot the series of being disappointed with what they had. The series reportedly would not see him suit up until episode 4, leaned heavily towards like a procedural courtroom drama, which I don't know if that would be like along the lines of what we saw with She-Hulk. But at the same time, like, we've heard now rumors in the last week or so of Marvel having a different approach with their series with Disney Plus, which is probably smart, even though they didn't really miss a beat with Loki. Loki's just good. like I don't know. It's like we can't just do that.
It feels so different from everything else that they do.
It does. And I, to be fair, though, I guess like Hawkeye's an established character, but Loki's a little more, there's a little more depth to Loki. And we've kind of fleshed out as much as we can with Hawkeye, though. The Hawkeye thing was fine, but like,
oh, really? I liked it. Yeah.
There's so many things with Loki that are so great. And you're like, how the fuck can they not figure this out? Like, remember one of the knocks? I know, Gooch, you retweeted it before the Ken Jack and I did. Like, one of the first reviews is like, it doesn't feel that connected to Marvel. It's like, all right, why is that a problem? Like, this is it's kind of great. Like, it feels like it's telling its own independent story. It feels awesome. And I actually, I kind of love this theory. You have people saying, will Loki be the one who leads the Avengers in like the next level of the event? And like, that's kind of an awesome thought. He's such a likable character in this. I know you guys talked about the last episode, but I'll just give brief thoughts. Thought it was great. Like, him using his magic in the real world now outside of the TVA was an awesome. It's just cool. Like, it's crazy how much better Loki is than everything else, but it also clearly they can make good series. So why not focus on one or two little things and make them great? I don't know.
Jeff, if you had to guess what the budget on Loki season 2 is, what would you think? Keep in mind that Secret Invasion and She-Hulk were both 200 plus million.
I'd imagine it's significantly less based on just what you're saying.
Yeah. It's 120. What was it? 126
million? I think 140 or something. Yeah.
I was going to say about 140, 150. Yeah. I would have, even you could have said 90. I'd be like, yeah, I kind of believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
100 million less than Secret Invasion.
It's weird, but it looks so good. It's so committed. It's like a visual treat. Like, the TVA is just fun to look at. Like, everything they did with Loki is such a home run. And you're like, man, how can they not do this with other things consistently? And maybe it's because there's too much volume. That's very well could be the case. But it's weird to say they got to figure it out. But like, the thing to figure out is sitting right there. They're airing it once a week right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the proof is there. They can do it. It's like, so just fucking do it.
I was going to say, in that article too, the one that announced that, like, they, you know, broken up the Daredevil team. They talked about how they had been making these series, and it's kind of crazy. They were just kind of making them on the fly, like, with no like real plan put together. So they were just like doing this shit on the go. There'd be rewrites and rewrites and rewrites in the middle of seasons. They would just try to go all these different directions, and then you just end up with a jumbled mess, which is like what you got in Secret Invasion, what you got in a lot of these series. And then Loki just feels so concentrated.
Yeah, thought out, you know, care put into it. It's crazy.
I just, again, you look at it and you're like, you're puzzled. Like, how can they figure it out so well with one of them, but not almost all the other ones? Mm-hmm. How do they get the first two to be so good and well received, even if WandaVision didn't end perfectly, and then at the same time they can't make like one or two other things with established characters like Nick Fury? Like, the Nick Fury series is dog shit. Oh, makes no sense.
I still can't believe they went ahead with that. It's crazy.
A24 looking for action and big IP projects to expend to make more commercial films. I'm kind of on the fence on this one. I don't hate this per se. Like they kind of did do that with X and X and Pearl. And now like the sequel, like they have, like I'm okay with A24 kind of going into the world of IP and action and projects. Like, if they have these creative minds behind these movies who are creating original things, and they feel like they have enough runway to tell more story, like an X and Pearl and Maxine, the next one, that go for it. I think that's crazy. I think it's a matter of how hard do they sell out doing it. Yeah. Right? Like, there's the thing. There's a difference. Like, Exorcist Deceiver is a forced movement of a franchise, where if somebody makes an X and they're like, oh, make it up, like, that's great. Do that. Which I'm going to give A24 the benefit of the doubt that that's probably what they would do, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, that's the biggest thing with A24 is I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt with basically, like, everything, right? So, like, that's where I think my mindset is with it. Because, like, on its face, I see A24 doing big action franchise or whatever, and I'm like, that doesn't make sense in my head, right? Like, that shouldn't. Those two things feel like they are diametrically opposed, but like they've earned it. They've earned it. Like I should be excited to see, because like they have never really made like a really bad wrong step in any direction. And if they want to try, like, who are they to be like, oh, A24 is too, they're too good for something like that. Like, they're absolutely not. They're like, they can do anything. So why not give them a shot?
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's a studio. They have to make money. They ate a lot of money on Beau's Afraid, which is apparently what caused this. They're like, we need to have some projects that, you know, can finance everything else. Yeah, it's like the one for me, or, you know, the two for me, one for you.
Yeah.
They got to do something, I mean, to make money. They're also, you know, in the money making. Like, this is like a studio that was started by a guy who left a hedge fund. Like,
yeah, it's not a charity.
Yeah, it's not a charity. Like, they pick out great projects. They have a great eye for what people will like commercially and, you know, artistically. So I do, like Ken Jack said, I trust them completely here. I hope they do something cool. You know, I hope it's not generic shit. I hope it is like something fun. Like, I would love to see them take on like a John Wick style, like something unique within something already established. I don't know how to put it. Like, take like an action franchise, but put your own spin on it.
Yeah.
Something.
Their version of the Blumhouse model is probably fine, and like, they're gonna have misses. That, guess what, we talked about it. A24 does have some misses. They have some bad fucking movies. Slice. But like, if, which one?
Slice.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
Yeah.
Right, the rapper always comes one to mind. Yeah,
but like, if you know, if they have to maybe sell out a little more, and they have to, you know, grab and reach like an IP or a property or something, like, and maybe it's not great, that's fine, as long as it, you know, as long as their other strategy of what they do and how they make movies continues, because they're making so many great things. I mean, they dominated the Oscars last year, but I also am assuming that that didn't result in much money.
Yeah.
You know, Everything Everywhere All at Once was a, in their, you know,
in their universe. Yeah. That's like a blockbuster, but it's, yeah, so
made,
relative.
I think it made like 80 million.
Yeah.
Right. Like bananas, but like, that's nothing. It's peanuts. So
yeah.
I think Kendrick, you said it. It's like, they deserve the benefit of the doubt. So I guess let's see how they do it. Last thing, trailer, speaking of A24, for The Iron Claw, starring Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White, Harris Dickinson, Lily James, directed by Sean Durkin, I believe. Mm-hmm. Who I don't think he's done anything massively as of note.
Offensive coordinator for the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Crazy. What a fucking insane career change. So kind of his first big thing in terms of actors and studio. True story of the inseparable Von Erich brothers, who made history in their in the intensely competitive world of professional wrestling in the early 1980s. We've seen pictures of this for quite a while, because obviously Zac Efron looks kind of crazy and like the makeup and wardrobe that he's in. He looks very different. Obviously, Jeremy Allen White, very fresh off of another critically acclaimed season of The Bear, comes out December 22nd. Looks good.
I think it looks great.
Yeah.
I like the music too. Some people are saying it was like a cop out or something. I think that's like two really good songs. They had Tom Sawyer.
Which is Rush. Apparently one of the songs that they came out to.
Yeah, then perfect. Like I think they had a good setting. Like, hey, this looks like that sort of 70s and 80s vibe. I think that looks good. And like their storyline is something as a very, very, very casual wrestling fan. Like, I know only like on the periphery, you know, like very tip of the iceberg stuff. So I'm excited to like learn more while watching it. And that's like a very interesting cast. I mean, specifically like Jeremy Allen White, like we were talking about, like just absolutely crushed it in The Bear. And I feel like Zac Efron's a guy that could like, we could see another level.
He's always another gear. I've always felt he has like that extra gear in him that we just haven't seen yet.
Like Lily James, man. Like, what's not to love about that?
Harris Dickinson too.
Yeah, Harris Dickinson's there. And the other two are the big stars.
I loved him in Triangle of Sadness.
The other two are the big stars.
He's such a goofball.
Yeah. So, but I'm pumped up to watch it. Oh, and our we've interviewed before, Holt McCallany, right? Like he is the dad. Also, he's just what a great dad actor.
Yeah, you know what I mean? 70s dad, like 70s, 80s dad. He fits the mold perfectly.
Him and Mindhunter. Like, he's just got that voice, like that really good voice. I'm Holt McCallany.
Yeah, like,
oh, that's my brother.
I feel like he would, you know, have a few shots of Jameson and then like a health bar would appear above his kid's head.
Yeah. Oh, you took that from that one. I'm very excited for it. Very, very pumped up.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, and like Jeff said, the December release is like the vote of confidence, especially with these smaller studios. Like, that's like, oh, this is going to be our Oscar contender. Like,
yeah,
this is going to be what we submit. I've heard Jeremy Allen White is unreal in this. So I can't wait to see that. Awesome. I mean, Bear is big, but like, you got to become a movie star. You got to star in these movies, baby. Yeah. Like, you got to be
a real movie, actual movie.
Yeah. The movie.
And also like, how great was like, I'm sure we all love The Wrestler, right? And like, I feel like that kind of like, it feels in the same spirit as this, not just because it's two wrestlers, but like the actual vibe setting of it, like the more sinister underbelly of these things. I dig that.
Yeah, no, I'm pumped for it. The number of people who are still like angry that they casted like sub 6 foot actors.
Yeah.
Like that, like they can't shoot around that.
Yeah.
One of those bigger movies at the end of the year in terms of, you know, clearly an A24 Oscar push, Killers of the Flower Moon coming out soon, Poor Things, another thing to keep an eye on, Maestro, Bradley Cooper to keep an eye on that one, obviously Emma Stone and Poor Things. Color Purple, another one to look for. Very curious how that one plays out. Obviously, that's an older... The trailer's starting to come out in theaters. You're seeing it more and more in front of things. And it's one of those where it's an assumption, you know, Spielberg involved. I've seen a lot of people say that Fantasia, which, by the way, if another American Idol contestant wins an Oscar, it's like American Idol just pumping out Oscar. Like, American Idol having one Oscar winner is insane to begin with. Having two would be crazy if Fantasia wins.
Yeah, time to give Phillips a shot or whatever the fuck his name was.
Who?
Taylor.
Phillips.
Or Phil Phillips. Okay. Yeah. So I'm sure I wasn't missing
that. Taylor. Yeah. Skip the Soul Train.
William Hung.
But she's up there, I know, for it. So we'll see. I don't know, like, will that movie deliver? But a lot of movies coming out, but I do still think this is not even like a unique take. It seems as though it's going to be Oppenheimer versus Killers of the Flower Moon.
Poor Things. The way people are pumping Poor Things, they like,
I could see that as well, but I don't know. I do think in an era where the Oscars is trying to mainstream itself a little more and trying to get more attention and view, like, there is to an extent something that might scream Nolan versus Marty to get people to care at least a little, which it would be interesting.
And Yorgos might be like the least approachable director from a mainstream audience you could possibly get, you know what I mean? Like, it's so eclectic and weird, and like, even the trailers for Poor Things, like, it looks fucking bizarre.
And obviously Barbie's going to get pumped in there heavy. The Barbie campaign is going to be strong.
Someone this weekend asked me if I thought Barbie would get the best picture nominee. I said no doubt, right?
I would put it in lock status.
Yeah.
I would put it in absolute lock. Exact same thing with Black Panther when that first came out. It would be shocking if Barbie did not get nominated. Same with Margot Robbie, same with Ryan Gosling.
So you're saying it's the Black Panther for white women?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Correct. Margot Robbie's the point. White Panther. They've been naming the Black Panther, Ryan Gosling, and his in the well. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You can just tell when there's a mainstream thing that's like hitting, you ever since The Dark Knight, you can just kind of tell when it's going to get a nominee. And Greta Gerwig's probably nominated too.
Yeah.
What does Gold Derby say right now? Gold Derby has favorite for win as Oppenheimer by a hair over Killers of the Flower Moon, has Nolan by a hair over Scorsese, and then actress is Emma Stone, pretty wide margin. I know Lily Gladstone's going to be thrown in there with Killers of the Flower Moon. We'll see how that goes. But that seems like an early Emma Stone is going to be the favorite. Actor Cillian Murphy and Leo, it's going to be a battle. Supporting actress, nothing really sticks out too much yet there in terms of a clear favorite. And I believe that's the case with supporting actor as well, though that seems like it could be shaping up to a three horse race of Downey, De Niro, and Gosling. People do think Gosling has a good chance at winning supporting actor for Barbie.
Be funny, but I don't see it.
Yeah, you just never know. The campaign's going to be strong. That Barbie campaign is going to be hefty. Though all three are. It's going to be maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it won't hit in the mainstream, but
Warner Brothers is taking out loans from government.
Yeah. They're going to sacrifice Aquaman, just fully sacrifice Aquaman too. So I guess that's it. I don't think there's anything else in news. Coming up on a very big release. Second biggest of the year in terms of Oscar contending. Probably the second biggest release of the year behind Barbenheimer for sure. So maybe third biggest release in terms of expectations and how people feel. When Marty, when Marty releases a movie, you got to listen. There's how many more is he going to release? You don't know. So
he's got one more.
Yeah.
Do you see that? He's doing the same author. David Granfield, I think, and like a different book, and he's gonna have Lee. He's bringing Leo back again. I
thought he was doing Cherry too.
He's just milking the Leo well as much as he possibly can. I want to go do another director. No,
yeah, I wouldn't hate Leo either.
Yeah, no, you're too old now. How old are you? You're over 25. Too late.
Yeah, fuck.
Too late.
That's where he balances it out. He dates the young woman because he only works with the oldest director possible. That's what it is.
Exactly. He hangs out with the oldest men. And
it's like he goes and stars in like a Greta Gerwig movie, then he starts dating a 70-year-old woman. He just like has to even out.
Balancing act.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
All right, that's it for movie and TV news. Time to talk some Loki season 2.
All right, welcome to a little Loki breakdown. We're going to go over the last episode, Loki season 2, episode 2. No, Jeff, as he is en route to back to L.A., I guess. Maybe Chicago? I don't fucking know where he goes anymore.
I think he's going to LA.
He's on his way to Jakarta as we speak Indonesian.
California.
Yeah, or Cali boy.
He's actually going to the Middle East.
Yeah, he's heading there right now. What side is he on? I'm going to let you find out on your own. That's the big surprise, like a YouTube thumbnail.
Yeah.
People know it. Jeff goes to Middle East?
The D stands for David.
Yeah. Okay, so Loki picks up where he kind of left off last. Loki and Mobius are chasing after X5, who was hiding on the secret timeline in the 60s as an actor named Brad Wolf. Great name.
Yeah.
Really like that name. And he has this modified pad that he says stops trackers. It doesn't, which they find out pretty quickly after they capture him. They interrogate him, and X5 provokes both of them, which I think this scene is really cool because it's really good dueling acting between Rafael Casal. We've interviewed before. You'll find his interview on our channel somewhere. And Tom Hiddleston. And honestly, also Owen Wilson. I think all three of them in that scene.
This is as good as Owen Wilson's been in forever.
In a long time. Loki puts X5 in this shrinking box machine to get the information on him because he wants to know where Sylvie is. And as we know, Sylvie was in Oklahoma in the 80s on a branch timeline. So X5 brings them to the McDonald's. One thing that bothered me during the scene, just to bring out, I really hate it when actors have empty cups, and it's so clearly an empty
cup. Oh yeah,
I hate it more than anything.
I didn't notice it, but they definitely were empty.
Or just cut dub over the sound, because they always do that. They'll pick it up. It's obviously empty because it's so easy for them to pick up.
You don't hear,
and then you hear the sound of a clearly empty cup when they put it down. And it's just a movie thing that always bothers the fuck out of me. I should tweet that to Richard Roper and be like, because he always does the movie law things. Like every movie needs that to happen at least once. But they find out that General Dox is pruning all the timelines. She's setting off bombs, blowing all of them up, killing trillions of people. So they stop them, but trillions are already dead. And Sylvie's just kind of like, fuck you want me to do? I'm going back home.
So yeah, what?
She just bounces, goes back to Oklahoma. And the last thing we see of her, she's hanging out on the truck with the time pad that he belonged to, He Who Remains, Kang, the one that he used to like. It's like apparently like it's like the mega version of the time pad because it can go all over the place to different places that you couldn't go with a normal time pad.
It's a time pad max.
Yeah, it's the mega time pad. The platinum version, I guess.
Yeah, the XR, whatever the new iPhones are called now.
Yeah. I think this episode is cool because it shows them sort of moving away from what the first season was in certain aspects into what is basically now just like a buddy cop story.
Yeah.
Like before it was pretty much Mobius explaining things to Loki and Loki doing his own thing, but now they're buddy cops.
Yeah, I mean, their chemistry is just, it's off the charts. It is like to the point where I cannot deal with if they kill off Mobius, I will be very upset. Because like any future thing involving Loki, I'm going to need Mobius there with him. Like it's just, he is the happy to the Iron Man, if you will. Like, yeah, they work shockingly well together. And it just gets better and better as it goes.
If you told us, I would say like, 4 years ago, like, yeah, we're going to do Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson in a movie together as Loki. And
I can remember when it was announced and being like, I don't think that's going to work.
Fuck, dude. Like, how does that possibly work? And it's been amazing. Like you said, their chemistry is just like unmatched. And they really got the good routine going of like good cop, bad cop, whatever you want to call it, like detective duo, even down to like the outfits to like, come on, cool off. Let my partner cool off. And like they go and eat key lime pie together in the pie room. It works really well. The only complaint I think I have about this is I don't think there was like a great transition from last episode to this episode.
No, there was a few things that were like, I think the structure of it and like the pacing of it was a little off this episode.
Yeah.
That's really my only big complaint is like, yeah, the pacing and the structure was just a little weird. I was like, did I miss something in the intro?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I love the opening though. I did love that opening scene. Like that, did you think that was like a Bond audition tape for him?
Yeah.
Because they almost set that up. They're like, let's make him look like a super spy sleuth and
it looked great.
Have him running in this tuxedo, chasing someone down. It looked like parts of Mission Impossible. The new one, when he's running through those streets. I was like, fuck. I haven't always been like the biggest Hiddleston should be the next Bond guy. In fact, I've had him very down on my list. But that opening sequence, I was like, you know what?
He looked so damn handsome. If he had just like a shorter haircut.
Yeah.
That's Bond.
I mean, yeah. Great running form, by the way.
Yeah.
Great running form.
And I think that the highlight of this episode for me was the whole interrogation sequence was very cool. A lot of really good like needling dialogue between X5 and Loki, like them going back and forth, I thought was really cool. And then like him not breaking was surprising. You know what I mean? Like not breaking down, trying to beat the shit out of this guy. But then also I think Mobius, him actually kind of breaking and showing like giving us a sight of his kind of internal struggle a little bit.
Yeah. Like he's not all like cheers.
Yeah. Which is something too. Like I think so far Loki hasn't addressed a ton of, which is a very interesting part of it, which is just like them all kind of understanding now that they're variants and that there is a different version of themselves that was able to live a life and not just kind of be like a slave to this TVA system. So that part I think is really cool and interesting and stuff they can dive into more. And I think that Loki's just done, they've done a really good job, not only with the script, the plot so far and everything like that, but also I think the effects look so good in this. It's fucking crazy.
It makes no sense. It makes zero sense why this looks so much better than everything else they've put out recently. Like, I guess they are using it somewhat like you'd think no, but I do think they're using it pretty sparingly.
Yes.
Like the sets are definitely
a lot of CGI.
There's some CGI there. But it's a lot of it's a lot of practical sets.
Like those big ceiling, like submarine doors.
You know, I think one thing people pointed out a lot with Ahsoka was those big green screen sets. And like the easiest way to tell was like they would just go over and touch like one thing. Mm-hmm. And that's like, oh, this is like establishing like they're in like a real place. But it's like they're only fooling with like one thing on the set. Like everything everything in Loki, it feels like they're touching, they're interacting with it. You can feel like inside that world, inside the TVA.
Even like the temporal womb, which is like this big, massive CGI mess sort of thing. It looks good. And I think the one thing, the one part of CGI that stood out to me is like the whole box sequence. Like that just looked like it was really happening.
I also thought he was going to crush him.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, holy fuck, are they about to start snapping this guy, like crushing him? So kudos to them, because I've kind of given up hope on Marvel doing anything like that. But for a second there, I was like, holy fuck, he's going to crush him.
And that was a scene that I think we kind of all watching it are like, we know where this goes is Marvel. Like we know, like, oh, he's going to break under the pressure. Like they kind of navigated that well to make it more surprising.
Yeah.
I also think like their whole action sequences, like the chase down was really cool. And like the magic that he uses to fool X5 into getting caught and then uses it to physically catch him, I thought was sick.
Dude, those shadows. Yeah, those shadows were awesome. That was some Sam Raimi shit. That was sick.
And he said, that's funny. He was like, the shadow's a little dramatic, huh? And he's like,
he's like, I don't think so. Yeah. He's like, I thought it was a nice touch. And then he like eliminates his other clones.
And then the other guys all, when he comes out and thinks those guys are trying to kill him, and it's just like his shadow effects, or not shadows, but like, you know, created magical effects, look great. The fight sequences, even with the rogue TVA guys, I thought looked cool. I thought that, or what do you call it? She had escaped General Docs, but they had her at the end of that. So
yeah, that actress plays like annoying old lady very well. Yeah, Lisa Aaron.
Yeah, suckling.
Oh, she was. She might be the worst Game of Thrones character of all.
She's maybe the most annoying in a good way. Again, that's the point of the character.
Yes, but
like so fucking annoying, like Janice Soprano kind of deal, except crazier.
I cheered when she got thrown out of the moon roof.
Yeah,
make her fly.
Yeah, those are good times. But yeah, so I think it was a really solid episode, and again, a good establishment of what Loki is now versus what Loki was last season. Which is like, I feel like they're moving into more of this, like, yeah, they were searching for shit. It was like in a way detective story, but more of like a detective thing. That's again, a buddy cop detective story is what it feels now versus what they were kind of like transitioning with in the first season, which is cool.
Really. Yeah, no, it's great. And they've added in, like, obviously they could have very easily, after the reception to the Casey character last year, people loving him, they could have overdone it this year, and they have expanded his role. But only slightly.
Yes.
And then the restraint there, I respect the hell out of. Because we've seen another show where a bit character comes in. They gave it a whole fucking series.
Yeah.
With like 10-year stream delay Agatha fuse. Coven of Chaos or whatever it's called next year on Disney Plus. But yeah, no, they just like, they're like, okay, people like this bit character. We're going to bring him back. We're going to add a little bit more.
Yeah.
But we're not going to overdo it. And then we're going to bring in Kiwi Kwan and add him in as like the, you know, random coworker that you run down and you see when you need something. And he's going to be charming as hell and fit right in with the other two. Yeah, no, it's great. And we brought it up last episode. I love that they're keeping Kang in the shadows right now.
Yes, exactly. And I don't know if that was by design because of.
Yeah, I don't know.
They re-edited it or what. But like, I do like, regardless, even if that wasn't the case, I still do like the way that they've done that so far.
Yeah, no, because it's like. You kind of you fear something you don't know way more than, you know, when you see it, you can kind of get over it quickly.
Yeah. And I also, just to talk about restraint, I'm surprised they haven't tried to add in any other Marvel characters too. Thank God.
Yeah. Like, this would have been the episode to do it too. I think there would have right. I guess. I don't know. They can do it.
They're going through other timelines. But like, I do like that they're letting it be its own thing. And it feels like after how successful the first season was, that they'd be like, oh, fuck it. Let's throw Thor in here. Oh, fuck it. Let's throw this guy in here.
Well, when they first showed up into that timeline in London and they just, you get the shot of the guy getting out of the limo.
Yeah.
Wolf getting out of the limo and getting onto the red carpet. At first, I was like, oh, fuck. They're going to do Howard Stark. I was like, they're doing Howard Stark, aren't they? And nope. It's just
X-5.
X-5.
Different timeline. What did he call in Brad Wolf?
Yeah.
Fucking killer
Brad
name.
Wolf.
What is, and I liked it when they had the discussion with Mobius and they were just like having a movie discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Very funny. He's like, it's cinema, it's elevated thriller.
Do you think that was a Scorsese nod? Or like, because, you know, his whole thing was the quote that blew it up, his whole Scorsese MCU thing was him saying it's not cinema, it's more of a roller coaster. And he's in there saying elevated thriller, which is like kind of cinema, every man. Elevated thriller is like applies to almost every Scorsese movie.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if that was like a nod towards that.
It'd be kind of funny if it was. I feel like it probably isn't, but like it'd be
really cool. To be clear, I don't think any of the Marvel writers or directors take offense to Martin Scorsese. No. I'm sure they all look up to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, when they said that, when he's like, it's cinema, I was like,
I didn't think about that. That's, you should clip that and post that, because then people will go wild with that theory.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
But yeah, I think we all liked Loki. We're excited for the next episode. And just, I wish we had more Ahsoka to look forward to.
Yeah.
I wish we had more stuff.
Well, I got the Gen V is really scratching the itch. Yeah. I'm going to watch the episode, new episode today, which is nice. The weekly release, we just got to get back to it. It's nice to have things to like discuss and not like, when something drops all at once, you kind of feel an obligation to watch it all if you're going to discuss it.
Yeah.
Because then, like, if you get into a discussion, you got to be like, oh, well, I'm only up to episode 3. So don't tell me anything that happens after that. I like it when there's just a weekly drop and you watch 30 minutes to an hour and you just come in the office the next day and you go, hey, you watched it last night? It's nice. Also, how do you feel about Sylvie's new haircut?
Very 80s. It fits.
Mm. Big fan.
Yeah.
Girls and mullets. I'll tell you what.
It works with them. I don't know why. I think it all, at this point, all I can do is a skullet. I don't know how that would do.
Yeah.
That's my only recourse at this point. But yeah, I've been trying to scratch my itch with other shows. Vinland Saga, this new season, is it just them fucking farming for like 1,000 episodes straight?
Yeah, buddy.
I'm starting to get fucking sick of it, to be frank.
Dude, Farmland Saga is the best. It's the best part of the whole manga.
How much longer can it... It's so much farming. And it's like they're getting into the weeds and technical... Like the literal weeds, like the technicalities of everything.
Life isn't about... It's not about taking life. It's about building life.
It's fucking... It's him and Eivor or whatever. They're just sitting there like talking for hours on end about farming. And I'm just like... What the fuck? Like, what happened last year with all these guys fighting and going after each other and going on raids? I kind of want to go back to that. Does it go back to it at any point this season?
All right, if you don't want spoilers, do you want spoilers?
I just want to know when I'm going to get back to the standard.
There's like one more fight. Like, there's like one more fight. There's like one more.
In the whole season?
Like the whole series. Like the whole thing.
God, dude.
Brother, he's a farmer now. He's a pacifist.
I know, but like, even if it's just Thorvin doing his thing there, I want to see like what, like Canute and stuff had the really cool scene with Mercia.
Canute does have more stuff.
Okay, and Thorkell.
But like Thor, but Thor's like, he's kind of out of the game.
But with Thorkell.
Thorkell's always, he's a killer. I mean, he's the biggest fighter in the world.
Yeah, he's got like a Goku haircut.
He's awesome.
I like Canute. Awesome. Canute's been a great character too. Okay, but then anyway, talking about Canute, that's Norse legend.
Do you have any predictions for the next episode before we just log off on this?
I have like none. It's a very difficult show to predict at this point.
Do you think Renslayer is with?
They teased her big time.
Kang, do you think she's actually just physically with him at this point?
That I feel like next episode they're going to show you Renslayer, because I feel like they've teased it enough at this point, but I don't know where she's
going. Yeah, I haven't dived into the theories at all, but I have seen like pictures of them in the comics. I guess they were hot and heavy. And like, yeah, co-conspirators in this whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to follow. Obviously, MCU doesn't really follow the comics all that closely, but who knows?
Yeah, well, we're going to find out next week. So we like Loki. We'll be back.
Stella Blue Coffee's new canned lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations, so when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today, taste the difference, and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee canned lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.
Reviewing episode 3 with Jeff next week. We will see you then.
All right. And from our review of Loki episode 2, we're heading straight into our hot takes of the week. Obviously, Jeff was out last week with surviving Barstool taping all week, but we did have Marty Mush in, which was interesting. He's got one hell of a take. Here it is.
Okay. Time for some movie hot takes. No Jeff today as he is in flight back from Survivor. But we do have Marty Mushin. I'm very interested to see. You're a guy where your movie going experience is so different from ours that I feel like you'd be so much better to have on here than someone like maybe a Clemmer, maybe someone who's just more involved in this world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm very interested. I kind of want to start bringing in people every single time for the hot take, just to get just to get a different opinion. Like, what is actually a hot take in the... I feel like we're too close to it.
Exactly. And like,
that's why I want to hear your guys first before mine.
Sure. You're not going to get mine.
And they, so like, well, this is what happens too, is like, we'll review movies, we'll talk about shit, and everyone's like, oh, your opinions are on the game. You guys are talking about your same stuff. And then like, then we bring in somebody new who's like not connected to this world, and then they'll bitch about that too. So
at all, whatever. Though, and mine's really not about movies. It's about the movie theater. Really.
Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah, this can be anything, movie, TV, just, yes. You know, content related.
Yes. And so we could start out. I'll just start off quick with my hot take is that I think the new Wonka movie, which there's been trailers for and everything like that. This feels hot. It's definitely, people are going to get pissy at it, I think. I think it's going to end up being on par with the original.
The original?
For different reasons. I don't think it's going to be where like, oh, this is good in the exact same ways that the first one was good.
This is hot.
For different reasons. Because look, this is the thing. This movie has a ton of Paddington vibes. I doubt you've seen the Paddington movies, but the Paddington movies are amazing. A lot of Paddington vibes. Same director, Paul King, the mind behind those. And both Paddington movies, objectively amazing. Like, they were social, like... or cultural, like, kind of icon movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're the big thing that they have is charm. They are super, super, super charming.
You're not loving this.
No, I think the movie is going to be better than what people are expecting. Like, I think it's going to be incredibly charming. I think people are going to go see it with their families. They're going to be like, oh, that's a lot better than what I thought it was going to be. And that was very enjoyable. I had a nice time. But the original Willy Wonka is like stood the test of time, and like decades upon decades upon decades.
But this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying like, oh, this is going to have, the music's going to be as good as the original. The Gene Wilder performance, the Timothy Chalamet is going to be as good as the original. I don't think that's the case. I think this is going to be a movie where you watch it and you have, and you think it is an equally good movie as the original Willy Wonka. And again, this isn't a remake. It's just a totally different movie and a different like rendition of the book. But like, I think you're going to come away from that movie thinking it is as good as the 1970s version, but for different reasons. And I think the big thing is going to be Hugh Grant is just, that's a guy built to play like a stupid little Oompa Loompa.
That's a hot take.
He's almost too hot.
That's no, like but real like hot.
He's uglied up in the Oompa Loompa.
I don't know. He's still kind of...
He's uglied up. And I think Timothy Chalamet has just got that sort of quality about him. You know what I mean? Theatrical quality about him. And like, it's going to be different. And like, that's... When you watch the original Willy Wonka, Willy Wonka is an abrasive dude. He's mean. He's like just a wretched old man.
It has that weird vibe about him too. Yeah.
And it works in that movie. It's perfect. He's a jaded old man. But in this version of Willy Wonka, we get to see like the upbeat Paddington version of Willy Wonka. And I think that that charm is going to come through. And I think people are really going to like it. And again, the big things that get me there, are the fact that Paddington 1 and Paddington 2 are two of the most charming, lovable, easy to watch movies of all time. And I think that's really going to help here. And I'm excited for it. And the trailers maybe don't do it justice. I have high hopes.
I thought the one they put out yesterday was a lot better than the first one they put out, which I didn't even think the first one they put out was bad. I thought there was some cringeworthy moments, or at least editing. Mm-hmm. But like the music, I'm a sucker for musicals and like the musical like numbers. Like, I will be there for that. Marty, where do you stand? Like, so have you seen the original, obviously. Yep. Have you seen the one with Johnny Depp from like 2003?
I haven't, but okay. I heard that one is like insane.
There's a weird split where it's like if you were born after 1998, you at like that's most of those kids Wonka. Like think that's the good one, which is wild to me because
I've only seen the original one, but I'm kind of excited for this one.
Yeah.
I think a lot of remakes are... Eh?
So again, technically not a remake. It's just a different adaptation of the same.
And that's where I think they get a little hairy. I think it gets a little hairy when it's like, it's not a remake. It's like a prequel, or it's just a different side of it. And it's like, it's just it's going to do well because people want to see it. But it's just like, I don't know if people are going to love it. And people love Willy Wonka. Mm-hmm. When it's so beloved, I do feel like it's hard to win people over again.
I think about it this way, and this maybe is too much of a leap, but it really isn't. Think about how people reacted to Batman Begins. Like, no way it's going to be as good as 89. No way it even touches that. No way Heath Ledger can do as good a job as Jack Nicholson. No way.
Yeah.
And like, this big, like, older, not as old, obviously, here, property that is super heavily revered. I think Wonka more so than Batman 89, but still, And then like, no, they're just automatically dismissive. No way. And then even then, Robert Pattinson, Batman, like no way this can be even close to as good as like Batman Begins or like Dark Knight. You could say, yeah, definitely not as good as Dark Knight.
I just don't know if I'm ready to put Paul King in the same category as the Nolans and the Reeves of the world.
Reeves, I don't think those two are in the same category of human.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Christopher Nolan?
If you had to pick between, you keep one, you lose one forever. The Paddington duology, not quite yet a trilogy. They're still making a third, right?
Sure.
Yeah. That or the Planet of the Apes trilogy. Which one are you going to keep?
I'll take Paddington.
Wow.
I'm not saying because it's like, wow, those are shit movies. The Planet of the Apes movies are really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good movies. I would keep Paddington.
I can't push you on your vindiction. Then
they're two great movies. They are endlessly charming, really well put together, bright, colorful, nice movies.
It's a good hot take. I don't agree with it, yeah. But it's a good
hot take.
That's
why it's hot. I feel like we've been too lukewarm lately.
Yes. We have. We'll throw one out and then we'll just be like, yeah, actually, yeah, that's a good idea.
That's the thing. Like, I did the theater one and I expected to get shit on for that. And everyone was just kind of like, yeah, I like that.
No, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
I thought everyone was going to be on my fucking throat on that, but no. Gooch, yours.
All right. This is one where I told you, Marty, you're not going to get this unless you are secretly watching anime and I don't realize it.
Nope. Yeah. That's
I think the difference between subbed and dubbed is massively overblown. Like people who act like if you're watching dubbed anime, you have like shit for brains and no culture. It's like, buddy, sometimes I got other shit going on and I can't stare at the screen for 30 minutes at a time. Like it's tough. It is tough. Like, and also I don't think the performances vary that much either.
Not anymore. It used to be a big deal. It's not really
used to
anymore.
Be. Yeah. Now there's so many voice actors in the industry. Like there are great voice actors everywhere down to like the C tier characters. I don't see the big difference at least anymore. Like I think the difference is marginal and I don't speak Japanese. So I don't fucking know what they're saying anyway. I don't know if they're doing a great job or a good job. Like I just kind of go off the vibes of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And people make a huge, huge stink about it too, anime fans.
Still.
And they're like, oh, like literally, like you'll watch something and it could be the goofiest shit. It could be like a movie about I'm trying to think the goofiest one off the top of my head.
One Piece, honestly.
Yeah, One Piece. Great example. Just like the goofiest shit. And they'll be like, you gotta be watching this in sub or you in subtitles. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
I'm like, why?
What do you guys think about like not anime, but like just like what's that show?
Peaky Blinders. Or something like
Bank Heist or something? Heist?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spanish, but it's dubbed in English where it's like, I get so overwhelmed.
See, that foreign films and shows, like when it's live action, that does bother me just because something with animation where like the mouth's not lining up perfectly with the voice, like that, they don't line up perfectly with the Japanese words anyways. Yeah. So like you don't really notice it, but when you go live action and the words aren't matching up with the mouth, it becomes so much more noticeable.
Voice actors are worse.
Yes.
Way worse than the ones that they have on animation.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It doesn't bother me all the time. Like spaghetti westerns, I can get over it. Like, cause they, you know,
Italian.
Yeah. They redub that. But like outside of.
Sometimes it's infuriating when it's not lining up with their lips.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't like it in live action. I way prefer just to read the subtitles. Because with a movie, I'm locked in. You know what I mean? Like with a show, it's usually like I'm doing other shit. I'm falling asleep to this. Like,
yeah.
What do you call it? A Vinland Saga. I'm catching up on Vinland Saga.
Fantastic English dub.
Great English dub. And that's a couple of the really good, like seasoned voice actor guys. Like which ones I recognize. I'm like, the guy who plays main dude is Baki's voice actor. The guy who plays Thorkell. That guy's a great voice actor. I love that guy. He's in like a million different anime. Like they're all great. So yeah, I agree with you, but I do think you'll get shit on for that by a hardcore anime fan.
Oh yeah. Like the anime fans will immediately come for my neck. Like
they probably heard you at Comic-Con right now.
They're marching on us right now.
We'll smell them coming a mile away.
Got a bunch of dudes, just Naruto running over here.
Yeah. So that arose to, or me and Gucci's. You're up, Mark.
It's one, right?
Yeah. Just a single one.
How about I give you a Luke one and one that you're not going to like?
Okay,
do the Luke one first.
The Luke one is the seating at movie theaters now. I feel very awkward with a stranger lounged next to me. I don't enjoy that they're so comfortable next to me, and I can't stand.
That's not that wild. Yeah,
I fucking hate when a guy's like, lying. It's like,
I never even thought about that, but yeah,
like it's just like, and then
like if somebody has their recliner up next to you, will you put your recliner up too?
Yeah.
Kind of gay.
Yeah, it's really gay. And I get nervous. And then the hand space, and then like the guy's eating his fucking pretzel bites on his chest. I fucking hate it. I just
I've never seen that move.
It's just like, it's like this. He's like, and I can't stand it. I get really uncomfortable. And I also hate when you lounged out and someone's going to the bathroom and yeah, it's very close to the chair. Yeah. And you're like, my feet are always hanging over. So, I'm like this.
I never know what the move is there. Do you put your seat down or do you like?
No, that's
I leave my seat and leave my feet.
I scoot your feet.
But it's just, I feel very uncomfortable.
Watching strangers be slovenly, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
Like be a slob is really gross. I agree with you there.
God.
When I saw Sorry to Bother You, I guess that was like 5 years ago now, someone in the recliner next to me took their goddamn shoes and socks off.
That freaks me out.
Jail. That's disgusting.
What the fuck are you doing?
Guy was in my chair when I went to go see I think Exorcist was the last movie I saw in theaters. He was in my chair and he had his shoes and socks off. And like I had to ask him to move. And he had to move all of that shit. And I was just like,
he walked on the floors?
On the bare floor of the AMC theater.
That's horrible.
The 34th Street AMC? Yeah,
especially nasty one.
I also have like a chewing phobia. I don't like chewing. I only eat my popcorn in loud scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, I'm respectful to it.
Oh, yeah. No, you have to be. You can't eat during slurring.
Yeah. Slopping on nachos during the quiet ones.
Yeah. I said this. We were talking about hot foods a few weeks ago, or we did a tiering of concessions with Gia and Clemmer. And I said, nachos, it's the biggest asshole thing to get in a movie theater.
100%.
I love nachos. But in a movie theater, it's not just the chips. It's the bag they come in. It's the little container is loud as fuck. Yep. Like everything about that food is so loud.
Also, open your food. Before and the previews,
yes, don't like your bags and
start
like,
it bags.
Start it up in the previews.
Get out. You could be crunching. I don't give a fuck. I love previews, by the way. But like, I just think that people are very disrespectful. People think they're in their living room in movie theaters.
I think you should knock out 80% of your eating before the previews are done. Yeah, like you know you're hungry. You 100%. Don't. What point is there in saving your food for later? Because you just want to get full. You'll be full for the rest of the movie.
Yes, 100%.
Just get it out of the way. Snack on it later as you go.
I got a little system. I eat a bunch during the trailer.
Yes,
and then I put it away. I throw a little Zen in, and then I sit there. And then like once that Zen's out, I take it out, and then I eat the rest. And then I throw another one in. Watch the rest.
That's
of the
movie. That's why nachos should be switched with the pretzel bites because people like cheese.
They're quiet
and they're quiet and soft. Yeah,
I like that. All right, what's the hot one?
I could give a fuck who the director is.
Oh, see, that's where you're wrong. That's just a wrong take. That's not a hot take. That's just a wrong one.
What do you mean by that? I give a fuck who I can name two directors.
The two biggest indicators of whether or not a movie will be good or not, I think, is the director and the writer. Like, it does not matter the stars.
I have never looked at who the writer was ever in my life. I've never looked who the director was.
So what were the two directors?
Like, this is the first time I've realized like the new movie coming out of Scorsese.
Yeah.
And like Scorsese, obviously.
And that doesn't get your blood pumping a little
bit. I love just because Scorsese was an Entourage.
To put it in sports terms.
Not because Scorsese is like one of the best directors of all time.
To put it in sports terms, this is like being an NFL fan.
I don't care who the coach is.
And I don't care who the coach or the quarterback is. Like the coach would be your director.
I don't care who the coach or coordinator.
I told you this one's going to get people upset.
The coach would be your director, and then the writer would be your quarterback. And that's, you're basically like saying, like, yeah, throw anyone out.
No, it's honestly the writer. It's the writers are the coordinators. Basically.
Yeah, kind of.
It's like they're making the script.
Even look of what the movie's about before I go in.
All right, that's fair. I actually like that.
I'm a complete just sit down.
I like going in blind.
Like, obviously, I see a preview or whatever, but I don't look up anything about it. I just go in. I really couldn't tell you any besides who's the feet guy, Tarantino?
Yeah.
That is Tarantino.
Him and Scorsese. After that.
So if you heard him, movie A is directed by somebody you've never heard of, you're not going to get excited for it, right? But if you hear it's directed by Tarantino, then you are excited for it.
No, Tarantino, I really don't care what he
Scorsese.
Does. Scorsese, it's just because it's a really good name. He's got a great name.
He does have a great name, Marty Scorsese.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
I'm trying to think of what directors he would like.
Francis Ford Coppola? I don't know.
Never heard of that. The Godfather. Did you watch the show about that? The Offer. I loved The Offer.
Trying to think of what
that the whole show is about, all the behind the scenes people that make movies great. That is like they barely touch on like Marlon Brando and stuff. Like he's in it for a second, but it's mostly about the producers, Al Ruddy putting it all together and Francis Ford, like recruiting Francis Ford Coppola to put his vision on the screen, like the writer of the original book, having him write the script.
I didn't understand.
I guess that was part of the story, but I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I was like, we could get past
that. I think there's dudes that you would like James Cameron, you'd probably like
Entourage.
Aquaman. Aquaman.
That being your first point of reference for fucking James Cameron.
Aquaman. And Avatar, Terminator, Aliens.
I couldn't tell you a thing about it. Is Avatar
Titanic?
The arrows on their head?
Yeah.
No. You're thinking of Avatar The Last Airbender.
No, that's a different Avatar. Yeah.
Arrows on the head.
The blue people.
Yeah, I heard the last one was really good.
You ever watched Gladiator? That's a movie I thought would have thought you would have seen. It was because like Ridley Scott would probably.
Yeah, Ridley Scott's a dude director.
Big things that are fake.
Or what do you mean? Like just
like what's
you think gladiators are fake?
Avatar, like
not
CGI
Gladiator,
Avatar
CGI stuff. Okay,
I could be. I just have a
in a universe that's ever expanding.
I stopped watching Peaky Blinders because I saw a horse.
You sell a horse?
I
You don't like horses?
I don't like horses. I don't like old time.
What?
Horses are very
horses on film is awesome.
Yeah. It makes sense to a lot of people.
You're wearing a hat with a horse on it.
It does have a guy under a horse drawn carriage.
Yes, I do. I thought I was wearing a ladybug, yes. I old time accents and horses.
It'd be really funny if he was just like a big Wes Anderson guy.
That would be funny.
You should tweet that. Just tweet out. Just be like, just saw the new Wes Anderson anthology movie.
Just tweet out. Just go to his filmography, pick five movies, and be like, these are my five Wes Anderson movies ranked.
Just pick five random movies of his and just be like, these are my top favorite Wes Anderson movies. And just see what their replies are. They will freak the fuck out because it's almost believable.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's saying like Kubrick or something like that. But like
Kubrick would almost be funnier.
Who's the worst director?
The worst?
M. Night,
where it's like
probably.
He has recognition, though. Like, where some people like him, but like he's like, it's almost a joke to like him.
M. Night is probably up there, I think.
It's Michael Bay, I think.
Yeah, but he's successful. You know what I mean?
So is Shyamalan.
Not as much
What's
anymore.
Michael Bay done?
Transformers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Never seen that one either, but I...
Like a lot of big action movies.
That's Shia LaBeouf?
Big explosions.
Yeah, that's Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox.
Her... Aronofsky would be kind of funny.
Yeah. PTA.
I like,
his PTA. He's like Phantom Coen Thread.
Brothers.
Bottom.
Coen Brothers is too believable, I think.
You got to do it to me in like sports terms. Like, who's Ben Simmons?
Who's Ben Simmons?
Who's
shows a lot of promise early, but kind of flames out.
You're describing M. Night.
But also could have a little bit of a comeback.
What?
That's kind of a comeback.
That's
kind of M. Night. That's kind of
M. Night Shyamalan.
Is M. Night Shyamalan? Embrace the Bay. Is M. Night Shyamalan the Ben Simmons of the directing world?
He did The Sixth Sense. You ever watch that?
A while ago. I definitely
Unbreakable. You'd love Unbreakable.
Never seen that.
Bruce Willis.
Signs with Mel Gibson, the alien movie.
No.
And then he proceeded to make like 10 straight very bad movies.
Yeah, a lot of really bad.
I love that. See, those are my guys.
He made an Avatar movie. Like the arrows on the made a live action Avatar movie, and it's like
bombed.
One of the worst movies of all time.
Bombed.
All right. See, those are my guys. They really are.
All right,
I would love to see documentaries of like
that's
the
another
behind
thing.
The scenes of like bad movies
of a flop,
of when
yeah.
they're happening and like everyone being hyped about it, or we're like, ooh, is this gonna flop?
Yeah, exactly.
Because sometimes you just gotta put it out, right?
Like, yeah.
No choice. It's like you take a chance on it bombing and or nothing. You have to make money or you don't. You have to try. I think we should do that though. We should give you a list. Like, we'll write out a tweet for you to tweet out about Wes Anderson. I think.
I'd love to. I'm Baker Mayfield. Going back up. I love that.
We'll make him sound like super like indie and put like Bottle Rocket number one.
Bottle Rocket's right at the top.
Yeah, we'll put Bottle Rocket number one.
Put like all like the more popular ones at the bottom. Like,
and then put like French Dispatch. Throw that in his top five. Like he's like he appreciates the underrated banger.
Yeah. I think we're gonna give him Bottle Rocket number one. Let's do Rushmore like number two as well.
Yeah.
Bottle Rocket, Rushmore, and then French Dispatch, and then
Life Moonrise,
Life Aquatic,
Life Aquatic, yeah,
Life Aquatic, and then probably Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah,
I might have to watch these movies.
I don't think you would like any of them except for maybe Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, I don't know if you wouldn't like Wes Anderson movies.
Yeah, you wouldn't. They're not for you. And I don't mean that like
No, I
there's a lot of patience involved in like it's a lot of like it's beautiful to look at. Gorgeous movies. Patience? A lot of patience.
I have a lot in real life. I have probably the most patience out of anybody. But movies like would you say Oppenheimer is a patience movie?
Yeah, I'd say so. That's like it's a lot of
just because there's a lot of talking.
There's a lot of talking.
But stuff's happening.
Stuff's happening, but it's
there's no explosions.
Royal Tenenbaum.
There's one like
Ben Stiller.
That, you guys agree that was the pussiest
what
explosion of all time, right?
They did kind of wimp out on it a little bit.
I think they wanted him.
Cared about the explosion.
He didn't use any CGI. It was all real. And I guess that was his thought process.
Blow that shit up. Blow it up.
All right. So that's our three takes of the day. We'll be back next week with Jeff. But until then, see you guys next week.
And from our hot takes of the week, straight into our streaming picks of the week.
We're going to be doing some streaming picks. No Jeff today as he is out doing Barstool Survivor, but we do have Marty Mush and Clemmer. Clemmer, obviously, someone we've had on LCB a few times, pretty well, I would say, respected movie mind here. Not that that's a very high bar.
I guess, yeah, I don't know if I use the word respected, but yeah, I do and like then movies.
Noted not very often movie watcher, Marty Mush.
I mean, yes. We got to get into the question, or what he said right before we were about to press record. He's like, before we start, can we just talk about movies real quick?
Yeah, what's that all about?
I just think that you have to have a certain mind to be a movie, a continuous movie watcher.
What do you mean?
I think that you all have different, like you watch movies different than me.
It's called autism.
You got the touch of the tism?
It's a little touch.
It's like when I'm watching, I'm not like, you guys have like so many different thoughts going on in your head where like, I just think I'm in the movie.
Do you, when you watch baseball and you see like, wow, that's a cool knuckleball or something like that. Or you're like, wow, that was an interesting swing. Like that's how you watch baseball. I don't watch baseball like that.
Okay.
I've never watched baseball and been like, wow, that's an interesting grip. Oh, that's a this, that's a that. Like I just watch it as a, oh my God, home run. And like that's how I watch it.
All right. You know?
So like reverse it. And I think that's how we're kind of doing
also
it.
Like bad movies though. And you guys don't.
You'd be surprised.
There's some bad movies I really enjoy.
You don't like any movies that are traditionally considered bad?
I shouldn't say. So I like enjoy making fun of them, I guess. Like from Justin to Kelly. Like when I was in my 20s, I watched that a bunch and made fun of it. But like I wouldn't call it good. I would never recommend someone watch that movie.
Sometimes you just like make it so easy to make an old joke.
That's like, not what I mean, though. I'm talking about like
happened.
There has to be some movies that you like and genuinely like rewatching that aren't considered.
Oh, I'm sure.
Good. Like, have you watched a movie and went online after and was like, oh, this is getting bad?
Oh, like, that happens, but I don't, I think the movie's good. I don't think the movie's bad. So, like, I would never say I like bad movies. I might like movies that other people think are bad, but I think they're good.
There's none where, like, you're cognizant that it isn't a great movie, but you just enjoy it or you have a special place for it?
I'm sure there might be, very few exceptions.
Like, a good example is Marty's famous for loving That's My Boy. From
you should stream.
There's
it
too many
Netflix.
People in our office that defend that movie.
It's and like that's a bad movie that you can like.
No. It is the cameos in that movie.
That's not a reason to like a movie.
I love this.
I know. So like, let's lose these ties and hit some dingers. Like that's such a good line.
Classic.
And like they just are playing it like the fake Fenway Park, and just it's so funny.
I have not seen this
Rex
movie.
Ryan's in it.
There are legitimately funny parts of that movie that you name none of. Like the New Kids on the Block tattoo would be the first thing I would laugh at. That's hysterical.
You dropped your burrito, Todd. Look at the fat fuck he won. It's the strip club where the what's up, RoboCop? It's so funny.
I gotta see this.
You never seen that?
Never seen that.
Oh, I'd love to watch it with you.
I don't know. I'm not like shocked that you haven't seen it.
It's yeah,
you should watch it. Honestly, like I don't like the movie like even a little bit, and
You're
I think
crazy.
It's fucking weird towards the end. There's a very weird little turn
there
that they make.
An odd
a
turn.
Little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
You ever watch This Is Us, the show?
No, I heard of it though. I know.
I just found out that was the dad in that show.
Wait,
I've never watched that either.
No, This Is Us. Yeah, Milo Ventimiglia.
Yeah, he's in Rocky Balboa.
He's the Marine. No, he's not Todd. Todd's the main guy.
Oh yeah, what's his?
I forget his name.
Whatever, doesn't matter.
But yeah.
Have you ever seen the Entourage movie?
No.
Fantastic.
Mm, you should watch that too.
I like Observe and Report.
I like that movie.
Like I love Observe and Report. I love that movie. But a lot of people hate it.
I walk by Imrata on a consistent basis because she lives down the street from me, and I'm working towards getting the courage to just stop her and be like, weren't you in the Entourage movie? Like, I want to pull that bit.
That's something never happened to her too, which is very funny.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she, I'm sure someone's like asked her, like, what was she in? Zoe 101, not Zoe 101. What was the Nickelodeon? iCarly. She was in iCarly for a bit.
That I didn't know.
Yeah. She dated Gibby.
That was Emily Ratajkowski?
Yeah.
I never watched iCarly. I don't think enough. You also, it's, I have two younger brothers, so it's not something that would be on frequently.
Yeah.
Did watch a ton of Drake and Josh, though.
Hell yeah.
Miranda Crosby.
Megan.
Miranda Crosby, right? Miranda Crosby or Cosby?
It's just
Cosgrove. There you go.
Like Miranda Cosby.
Being Josh, like in like a fat fuck, going and then like pressing the button in Oppenheimer's crazy.
Yeah. It's come up for him.
That's a crazy come up.
It'd be kind of funny if he went back to being fat.
Yeah.
I wish he would. Again. He was a great fat guy.
He was. The fats lost a good one.
Generational.
Yeah. He was like basically Freddie Adu.
He was the Len Bias of fat.
The Len Bias, I think, is better. Yeah. Except instead of like a what do they call it? A screwball? What the fuck's it called?
Yes.
April. Yeah. Instead of an eight ball. It was like Ozempic. Yeah. It's ejecting Ozempic instead of an eight ball. Okay. So we're doing our streaming picks today. And again, it's a draft sort of style, but if you can pick the same, if it happens, it happens.
Happened like three times already.
Yeah. And for this, for the purposes here, just give us the movie and then tell us what service it's on so that people can go out and watch it. Randomized order ahead of time. It's going to go Marty, then Gooch, then Clemmer, then me. So Marty, you're up first.
All right. Well, this was really tough for me. It was hard.
Oh, I know. I saw you struggling. You asked me if it's okay if I picked ones on Pluto TV. The answer to that was no.
Pluto TV, not bad.
It was a hard no. And he's like, okay, what if they're on rental? I'm like, well, that's not really on streaming.
It was I'll say it quick. It's not my pick because it's not. Yeah. It's on Pluto TV. But I only would watch Rounders. And Rounders was always
good
on
movie.
Netflix.
Rounders is a very good movie.
One of my favorite movies. And it was on Netflix, but they just took it off. But it's on Pluto TV now.
Okay.
Rounders is fantastic. Good-ass movie.
Yeah. Pay him his money.
Yeah. But don't scratch the butt.
One of my go-to movies when I'm just like, when I'm sick of looking what I want, War Dogs. I love
with Miles Teller and Jonah Hill.
And Ana de Armas.
His Ana de laugh. Armas?
In War Dogs?
That's his wife.
Yeah.
Miles Teller's wife. Okay.
It's his, Jonah Hill's laugh in that is one of the worst of all time, but it's a good movie. Rico also stole Money's in the Crumbs from that movie, but still.
what's it on?
HBO.
So the one scene I really remember from that movie is the scene where like he tries to buy weed from the guys, and then he goes back into the trunk and gets the gun. He's like, yeah. What? I thought we were having fun. Yeah. And that scene I remember being funny. But then I also remember it kind of being a functional ripoff of Lord of War with Nick Cage.
Yeah, it is a little bit. But
it's
almost
the same movie.
It's just an arms dealer.
Yeah, exactly. It's an arms dealer with a brother.
Okay.
But he was selling bed sheets.
Is War Dogs the same story as Lord of War? Is it the same guy that they're playing? Because I know he's like a Ukrainian or something, right? That's the guy in Lord of War.
Yeah.
And then they called this War Dogs, too. And Dan Bilzerian is in this?
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's a great scene.
That's such a Dan Bilzerian movie.
He gets smoked.
And Todd Phillips banger.
Yeah, Todd Phillips, what a filmography. Hangover 1, Hangover 2, Hangover 3, War Dogs, Joker.
Joker, yeah.
And now Joker, Folie à Deux, a fucking musical.
Yeah.
Hell of a resume.
I think, wasn't Lord of War about, or tangentially related to somebody that was exchanged for Brittany Griner?
Yeah, yeah.
Or something, right?
Yes.
That, isn't that crazy?
I'm almost positive that did pop up on the timeline. That was like, yeah, he was a main figure in that movie.
Yeah,
Todd Phillips did like old school, right?
Yes, he did.
He did old school too. I actually did not know that.
He remember he shows up in the movie and he's like, "I'm here for the gangbang." That's him.
No, I don't remember that part at all.
Like Luke Wilson goes away in the beginning of the movie. He goes away to a conference, comes home early, and his wife's like, "What are you doing home so early?"
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then the guy comes up and he's like, "I'm here for the bang."
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And they go in the room. The guys are like blindfolded, walking around naked. It's a funny ass movie. All right, Gooch, you're up.
I'm going to start out and I'm going to do all Halloween kind of picks like I did last week.
Oh, no. Okay. The same wavelength here.
I don't think I'm going to pick one of yours.
Okay.
Actually, one of them might be one of yours now that I'm looking at it. But this one, definitely not. Not a great movie, but a very enjoyable movie. A movie that I was forced to watch with a girlfriend in high school and ended up really liking it. It's Practical Magic. Sandra Bullock, Nicole Kidman. Just very enjoyable. It's not scary. It's not scary. If you're a pussy like me, then it'll get you in the mood for Halloween without like fucking giving you nightmares. It has a nice little romance story to it, of course. And then, you know, witches, but not the scary kind of witches, like the hot kind of witches.
Do you agree that you're an insane person to pay to get scared?
No, dude. You go to like an amusement park?
No. I don't. No.
Splish Splash? We talked about Splish Splash all the time.
Yeah, I've been there.
Are you thrilled?
That's thrilled, not scared. Like,
there's certain types of horror where I'm like, that's kind of weird to be into. But I like, yes, I'm like, I just don't get into that community because they love it. Like the slasher, like the really deep gore shit. But yeah, Terrifier. If you've seen Terrifier 2 or like heard about it, like this guy peels this girl's skin off and like pours salt on it, and they show you everything.
They
Are you getting to that? But like, if it's like just suspense and thriller, I kind of love that. Like,
So Practical Magic is on what?
Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
Might be on Disney Plus too.
Clemmer, you're up.
Yeah, so I picked all scary movies for Halloween. And my first one is It Follows.
Yeah, good-ass movie.
Didn't you pick that last week?
I think so, yeah.
Did you?
No. Keep it, though.
It's on Netflix. Fantastic. And not a movie. I picked it only because I heard so much about it. Like, other movie people I like were saying It Follows is so scary. I'm like, it's like 1 a.m. one night. I'm like, I'll put it on. I was instantly glued to my seat, instantly terrified, so scary. Mm-hmm. It's a cast you probably wouldn't recognize a lot of people from. It's a pretty bare bones movie, but it's shot in a really interesting way. It's really creative, doesn't feel cheap or low budget. And I don't know, it really stuck with me. Fantastic. Directed by David Robert Mitchell, who I don't really know anything about before or since. And I just walked away really impressed with this movie. Legitimately scary. The scariest movie I've seen in a while.
David Robert Mitchell.
That's a good name.
I mean, it sounds like a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
You look up directors and like you'll like if you see one, you'll like make sure you watch that.
I tried. Yeah. So like for instance, like obviously the big names like Scorsese's movies coming out in a couple weeks. I got an opening night tickets. I'm going to go see that. Obviously.
It's crazy that he knows what Riz means.
Riz? Oh, Scorsese.
Oh, yeah.
That is nuts. That's
he's got young kids, you know.
The story of how he has that young daughter is nuts too. Think like he has like a, you know, age inappropriate wife with he has a 17 or 18 year old daughter. No, his wife just had a kid when she was 51.
Oh my God. That's crazy. Is crazy.
And wow. I think she has a Parkinson's diagnosis too. So this was like a 1 in a million shot to have a kid.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
Wait, was that his kid in the video?
Yeah, that's his like daughter.
That was granddaughter.
No, that's his daughter. She was like an oopsie.
His eyebrows are getting out of control.
They always have it.
Adorable. They bounce when he laughs.
That's a good draft. The top 10 eyebrows.
Oh, it's him. It's
who's the guy from
Dan Levy?
Dan Levy's up there.
Is that the guy from American Pie?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, that guy's.
That's Eugene Levy. That's the dad.
Oh yeah. Sorry,
he's got caterpillars.
Sun keeps him threaded, if you know what I mean.
Who's got the most iconic eyebrow? Cara Delevingne. She's probably up there, but they're just dark. You know what I mean?
She's got some wild ones.
Frida Kahlo with the unibrow.
Yeah, that's iconic.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at iconic eyebrows, and half of them are just
Anthony Davis.
Pretty regular people. Oh, Madonna in the 80s. Yeah.
Olivia Cooke. She keeps them bleached.
Did it? Really?
A lot of pictures I saw from last year. When she was doing the House of Dragon press tour, she had them bleached.
Oh. Okay, actors. I feel like I'm missing some.
Anthony Davis like made his personality. I don't like that.
Yeah,
where it's like, you could shape that.
Oh yeah,
bro. Okay. It Follows on Netflix for Clemmer. I got back to back. I'll start it with a movie. It'll be more of a hidden gem compared to a lot of these. It's called The Night Comes for Us. It's a Indonesian action movie that is fucking awesome. Some of the coolest hand to hand fights you'll ever see. It's got Iko Uwais and Joe Taslim. These are two dudes that are from like The Raid, and now like they're in Western movies too. Iko Uwais was in like Star Wars and a whole bunch more, like Mile 22. Not a great movie. He's good in it. And Joe Taslim was in like Mortal Kombat recently. Both of them, and also Joe Taslim's in stars in Warrior on Max now. They're two of the greatest martial arts actors in the world right now, and they both star in this movie. Super cool, really violent in a good way, and really cool fight sequences. And I think anyone would like it. You don't have to worry about subtitles. it's just people beating the absolute shit out of each other. So if it's a movie where you're like, oh, I don't want to have to follow along and subtitle, blah, blah, blah. It's just people beating the shit out of each other. That's all you need.
Hell yeah.
It's amazing. And I'll back to back it with on Max, If Beale Street Could Talk. We talk about it all the time. Not Beale Street specifically, but If Beale Street Could Talk. Awesome movie that didn't get nearly enough love when it came out. Specifically the score too. Like,
didn't even get nominated, right?
Score didn't get nominated. It was Nicholas Britell, I believe, right?
Yeah.
I fuck this up all the time, but I think it's Britell. It's one of the most like beautiful soundtracks of all time. Didn't get a nomination. And then like fucking you go on TikTok and everyone was using the soundtrack and everything because it's so gorgeous. And then they probably give the fucking award to like Joker or something.
That, that was like,
get pissed at that.
What do you mean?
When, like, when it hits later in life, not when it actually, like, say it kind of tanked in the box office when it came out, but like 20 years later, it starts to do good. Do you think they get pissed?
Yes and no, because the fact that it finally does get recognized is a relief.
Yeah.
But then once that wave passes, I would be pissed.
I mean, you saw that Scorsese video.
Yeah.
You saw him like halfway through fucking King of Comedy gets brought up and he's like King of Comedy 83, 84 New Year's Eve special. He said it was the flop of the year. Like apparently like every interview he does, if that movie gets brought up, he brings up the fact that it was called the flop of the year.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know, revered.
Yeah. It's a good ass movie. But I got to put Beale Street up there. Really beautiful movie. Cool family story. Sad, happy sometimes.
Beautiful.
Really good. Gorgeous movie to look at. Gorgeous movie.
I like that.
All right, so if Beale Street Could Talk on Max from you. Clemmer, your second pick.
Clemmer, you, no, you Marty. Get two picks.
He did two.
Oh, no, sorry, I have it in my...
Oh, wait, no, now it's Clemmer.
It is
Clemmer,
yeah.
It's Snake.
Did you get two picks?
You guys fucked me up, yeah.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I already get two, yeah. Yeah, mine's a pretty... This is kind of mainstream, I guess, but if you haven't seen it, definitely should check it out, especially in October. Also on Netflix is Us. Yeah, I mean, just I think a really... It's almost become underrated because it you know, people obviously love to Get Out. I liked Get Out a lot. I think Us is better. Now, the third act of Us is rough. But the first two acts of Us are about as scary, about as terrifying, about as interesting as any horror movie I've ever seen. And for that, it gets a slight edge for me. I really like Get Out. Nope, to me, is a distant third of those three of his movies. But I think, and it has an incredible performance by Lupita Nyong'o. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Yep.
She didn't even get nominated for an Oscar. I just double checked now. It was just crazy.
She's playing two characters, both very different, both incredible.
Incredible performance. And like, obviously, 12 Years a Slave is an amazing movie, but her part in that is pretty small. She obviously won the Oscar for that, and she's amazing in that. But I think what she does in Us is even more incredible because she carries that whole movie and she's playing two different parts. It's just so interesting and it's so scary and she's so good and so believable. And she's the only thing that keeps that third act together.
The scissors and...
Oh,
yeah, no, we are big Lupita stockholders on this pod.
Yeah, she's incredible.
We thought she should have taken over the Black Panther.
Yes, absolutely. She should have taken over as Black Panther. She was so good.
She's easily the best actress in that franchise or that property. Have you seen Little Monsters before?
I have not.
Little Monsters are sneaky good. Another good.
Another great, that she's in and she's great in it.
Josh Gad has a funny part in that too. He said something really funny. Like
Josh Gad is funny in any situation, just the man himself.
He is.
You guys big Gad?
We've interviewed him twice now.
He's very funny. Yeah,
he rubs me the wrong way. I've never met the man. I'm sure he's very nice.
Very funny in interviews. Very nice.
He is just, anytime I see him on anything, he's like, he makes me like cringe. I hate that expression is overused, but he to me is cringe.
Is it the Olaf voice or?
It's I almost see the flop sweat every time he comes on the screen. I can just see him trying so hard. This guy, I know.
You're roasting you poor Josh.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. It's not that. It's just, for every reason, like, I'm also not a big Jack Black fan.
Yeah.
And some people love Jack Black. It is, for me, it's just like, I just see the sweat there.
I feel like Jack Black is not liked anymore.
There's a recurring theme with the two people you don't like. And a lot of people in this office are built
I'm a
just
big,
like
I'm a big Chris Farley fan.
How do you feel about Jersey Jerry?
He doesn't like fat music men. I think that's just your thing.
Yeah, maybe that might be the music element, I guess. There's got to be no, John Belushi's great.
How did you feel about Meatloaf?
Meatloaf, I like Meatloaf a lot. My dad loved Meatloaf. That was like that. What is the album?
Cheeseburger in Paradise.
No, that's Jimmy Buffett. Meatloaf is bad at hell.
Name and meats
because his name is Meatloaf.
Yeah. he's good in Fight Club.
Hot dog in hell.
No, it's bad at hell.
Bad out of hell. That's it. Yeah.
That's a good album. And he's very good in Fight Club.
What's the one where it's him and the girl singing back and forth and doing?
That's Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. Bad out of hell.
That was the paradise I was looking for. Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. That's a good ass song.
It's a very good song. Phil Rizzuto, a little cameo in there.
Phil Rizzuto?
Yeah, he does the play by play at the end when the guy's gonna score.
Okay. So Us from Clemmer on Netflix. Scooch, you rack up.
All right. Back to spooky season. This movie, and I'm actually looking at it now, I did not realize it had a longer title than what I thought. Boy. It's The Interview with a Vampire. There's just a second part to the...
Just Interview with the Vampire, I'm putting, by the way.
Yeah. Colon, The Vampire Chronicles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just Interview
with the Vampire. I did not know that there was a second part to that title. Yeah, but Interview with the Vampire, I think Clemmer was on last time I talked about this movie. Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, Dakota Fanning?
No, Kirsten Dunst. No,
Kirsten Dunst. I was thinking child actresses.
Antonio Banderas.
Yep. Yeah. Fucking what's his face from Mr. Robot? Christian Slater.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be River Phoenix.
That was. Yep.
He was already. He was like, gonna go to do that shoot the next week.
Oof.
And he died. Then they immediately had a scramble to get Christian Slater in there.
You know Joaquin Phoenix? Heard the name before? Yeah, played Joker. Couple of.
Yeah.
He had a brother.
I saw his face.
Yeah, he had a brother who was very also an actor, very very good, and he died of a drug overdose in the '90s, the Viper Room.
Right. Oh. It was Johnny Depp's club.
Yeah, Johnny Depp.
Do you know, ever seen the movie Stand By Me?
No.
Oh, okay. That's probably the most famous role.
You can probably say, have you seen this? I haven't seen it. And I wish I have. I'm actually jealous.
I think you'd like Stand By Me a lot.
I think I'd like a lot of these movies.
Stand By Me, I think you'd really like.
Like Titanic was I saw the first time this year.
Yeah.
What'd you think? A
great movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Check out Stand By Me. Do it because it's about four young kids that they're all boys. They're all hanging out.
You should show me some of your good movies. Four kids. You have to watch some of my bad movies.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland's in that. Yeah,
24.
Yeah. He's a teenage dirtbag.
He's like a bully, mean, scary bully.
Yeah. Okay.
But, yeah. Interview with the Vampire. Check it out. It's on Hulu.
I don't trust a movie with a colon in it.
To be honest, that's not. It's not the worst take. There's good ones out there.
The ratio of good to bad with colons.
Yeah. Marty's the right track. I will agree. I think the longer your title gets, it gets. Kind of we're in shaky waters here.
I can't say vampire twice, too.
Yeah. What was the one last year? The Inarino movie? Bardo or A False Chronicle of Truths? And it was
that was a bad movie.
I hated that movie so much.
Inarito or whatever. Ooh, yeah. That was a tough one. Inarito Vampire is good, though. That's Tom Cruise is one of his best
movies. Yeah, I mean, we brought it up. Vampires are just not scary. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. We talked about scary monsters. We tiered them, and Dracula came up, and we're like, Dracula's just not scary, but he is interesting. And this kind of plays to that. Vampires can be very interesting. That whole, the mythos behind them, the lore, and the way they work in the world.
It's really true. They're supposed to be scared, but they're not.
They're
just
not.
You kind of want to see them suck someone's blood.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of rooting for them.
Well, they're supposed to be charismatic.
Yeah.
So, just kind of, it is one of the more interesting roles. Tom Cruise doesn't play a villain very
often. I think it's like a top five performance from him. It's great. I would
have Born on the 4th of July up there.
Rain Man. Yeah.
I would have Rain Man up there, but I would have this in there, and I would also have. Out of his other two.
I think you can just put Mission Impossible all together, Ethan Hunt.
Yeah, as one character, Ethan Hunt.
Is he doing that great of acting, though?
I think he's great.
I mean, I love those movies.
I think he gets
some good
better.
Serious moments and some good drama in there.
See, I think he's quite good in Vanilla Sky. I think he's very good in Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, really good in Eyes Wide Shut.
He's so aloof and so weird, it kind of works with those movies, because movies are aloof and cold and weird.
Yeah.
Magnolia.
That has to be in his top five. He's fantastic in Magnolia.
No matter how you feel about Magnolia,
he's crazy. I think Magnolia is quite good, and he is amazing.
Tropic Thunder is up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so limited.
He's funny,
Few Good Men.
Few Good Men, although is he the reason?
He's not the reason that movie's good. I would say
he's very good.
It's better than him in that.
Tropic Thunder was the blackface movie, right?
Yes, it was.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Oscar nominated.
Oscar nominated.
That's crazy that I got through.
It is crazy, but at the same time, it's one of those things where the whole bit of him doing blackface was making fun of how actors would be so up their own ass that they would be dumb enough to do that.
Yeah.
So and like
that's he, why I got away.
And he got the pass from black actors too ahead of time. To be fair, like he was like, "Is this guy okay with you guys?" And they're like, "Jamie Foxx, I think, was like, yep, that's all right." You ever hear Jamie Foxx's impression of Robert Downey Jr.?
No,
it's one of the best I've ever heard.
Just go if you're ever bored one day, get on YouTube and just look up Jamie Foxx impressions. He's like one of the
Jamie
best Foxx impressionists.
Can do everything
in the
everything.
It is unreal.
It's like I said, his career has been very successful. Don't get me wrong. I almost feel like we haven't gotten enough of him because he's so great.
He's like a Michelangelo.
Because he almost doesn't have to do anything anymore. He's like such a.
He
everywhere.
Does fucking 5,000 ads for Caesar's.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He just gets ads for. He's okay now, right?
I guess he's been okay. It sounded like it was touch and go for
him.
Oh, with that stuff. Yeah.
Stroke, whatever he had. Yeah.
But Interview the Vampire and Hulu for Gooch. Marty, you have back to back picks.
Listen, this is a recent movie that came out. And I truly, I've watched it now, I think, about 3 to 4 times. And I love it. And I've been really into Bobby Flay lately.
Chef?
I've been, nope.
Entourage?
The Menu.
The Menu? You I watched The Menu this three
times? Is this good?
I fucking
people like this.
You haven't seen it yet?
I haven't seen it. I know.
Some people didn't like it. I found it to be very interesting of like, all I like movies with a different, each party had a different story going on. Yeah. At that and there. And it was just like interesting where the chef came in and all that. I loved that movie. And I've watched it several times. I'm still like, fuck, it kind of has a great, I like the ending too. I really liked
it. Good ending.
What's that on?
HBO.
Yeah.
I gotta watch
that. Have you watched Succession?
Yes.
All right. Same director from Succession, Mark Molloy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We should also get you watching more.
That makes sense. It kind of does.
Yeah. Thematically, he has some opinions about rich people.
Yep.
You can't tell.
Fucking hates.
We should get you watching some more Ralph Fiennes movies, like Schindler's List. He's great in Schindler's List. Ralph Fiennes. He was Voldemort.
In Bruges, maybe.
In Bruges, amazing.
Okay.
We'll get you on some more Ralph Fiennes stuff. He's a good ass actor. I was just talking about In Bruges or something because it's on streaming. So I was Trent had seen it for the first time.
You're In Bruges, fucking inanimate object.
Such a good movie. Your next and last pick.
A lot of people didn't like this one either. Well, I was going to put the other guys on here, but that's just my favorite movie of all time.
It's a great movie.
How's Your Wife? She's Dead. Attaboy.
Yep.
But this one, people didn't like it. There was a lot of controversy when it all came out. Don't Worry, Darling.
Wow.
Enjoyed the shit out of that movie. I think it was such a
crazy. Rhea has poisoned your fucking brain.
Yeah. You got Harry Styles poisoning. Damn it.
I avoided this movie like the plague. I got just bad reviews. Is this good?
I don't know why. Because I came out of that too and I was like, oh, I thought it was good. But I like to that's a beautiful movie to watch.
There's a lot of good cinematography.
There's a lot of good gorgeous, cool. Yeah. Like, I just like when a lot of things surprise me, you know? And I like when I'm really surprised in the movie. It was good.
What do you think about the Harry Styles dance scene where he just does the flip thing 500 times?
That was odd.
Chris Pine's going, dance, boy, dance.
Yeah. He's like, odd. But I didn't think I didn't think Harry Styles was bad in it.
I don't think anyone was good in it, is the problem.
No, I agree. I don't think it was, I don't think so either. This is bugging me right now, but what's the movie with Steve Carell?
Foxcatcher?
And it's like a romantic,
no.
I don't know what the fuck you just
said. Is he a doll?
No. It's a romantic comedy.
Okay.
Crazy
more.
Stupid Love?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling. Yeah.
Fucking love that movie. Oh, yeah. It's a good movie.
That's a fantastic movie.
Steve Lindhagen.
Yeah. I like these new little whacked movies.
Don't worry, though. We were not fans of Don't
It just felt like
no,
it was.
A lot of people weren't.
It felt like he needed like three more go overs in like the editing room and like the script. Like there was something there. Like I did like the premise and the sci fi elements and like was shot well, big sets. Expensive ass movie, good cast,
sexy people,
but like the twist just did not work for me. Sorry, the twist just did not work for me, and then like the ending, I did not like the ending.
Ending was a little wild.
Yeah,
but I liked. I actually liked that you said that they had a good idea.
Yes,
I don't there was think definitely an idea there.
Completely,
yeah.
But people fucking hated this.
To me, it felt like I remember when I said this as much when we had seen it. I was just like, this movie feels like they thought. When they wrap this movie, this is so smart.
Yeah.
This is such a smart movie. They're going to be blown away by how smart we are. And it just wasn't. And that pissed me off. I felt like I was being like patronized by this movie. I feel like they were personally attacking all of us.
Yeah.
Although I guess it doesn't make it personally. It's every single person, but still.
No, it feels that way though. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But also there was so much drama with the movie. So it was
That's true.
Some people went into it with a negative connotation.
No question about it.
Like, yeah, I had a really weird buzz around it.
Yeah, bad buzz. Yeah. All bad buzz.
Like the spit thing, everything.
The spit thing was funny. I still think he did
it.
It was just hilarious.
It's awesome.
Gooch, you're up.
Last pick. This is the classic that I thought Clemmer might have. We'll find out. Young Frankenstein.
No, I have a different classic.
Frankenstein.
Well, look at these.
Yeah, Gene Wilder. I mean, you really can't go wrong here. What's her face? Cloris. Yeah, just passed away last year. RIP. Just a classic. A lot of comedies. Old comedies do not hold up. Well, at least in my experience, my dad will show me stuff from the 70s and 80s, and I'll be like, this just is not funny. This holds up. This holds up as well as it can. Very, very funny. Also, Halloween-themed, obviously, Frankenstein. Fun little twist, and actually, just it does cool stuff, like artistically, from like an art standpoint. Like the black and white, like it looks great.
Ray Romano's dad is Frankenstein.
Yeah, Peter Boyle, yeah. Peter Boyle. And he's also a Taxi Driver. He was actually a pretty important character actor in the 70s.
Yeah.
It's a really, I keep using this word, but it's a really important movie, Young Frankenstein, because it did kind of like change comedy, kind of how we look at comedy, satire, a lot of that stuff. That's a very revolutionary movie.
What's it called? Marty Feldman?
Yes.
Very funny in that.
Yep.
A lot of good characters, a lot of good actors. Very, just so many historical lines in that too. That kind of roll in the hay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Young Frankenstein. That is
Madeline Kahn's in that too. She's so good. And
Madeline Kahn's amazing.
She died young. She died in her late 50s, I believe. Her last thing was on that Cosby Show. Not the Cosby Show, but the Cosby, like he's like a sitcom for CBS after the Cosby Show. Yeah. And she died shooting that. But she was a very talented actress.
Was it related? Or?
Was it?
Related to Cosby.
Was she related to Cosby?
Or was it related to
Cosby? Was it related to Cosby? I don't think so. I don't think it was cancer, but who you know, you never know with him.
Young Frankenstein is on
Max.
On Max. That was his last pick. Clemmer, your last pick.
Mine's also a classic from the '70s, 1978. In fact, it's on Amazon Prime. It's Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one with Donald Sutherland, Leonard Nimoy, a very young Jeff Goldblum. This movie absolutely holds up. It deals with themes
creepy as hell.
Themes of paranoia. Themes of who can you trust? What is the quote unquote greater good? It doesn't have a lot of effects in it, so it does hold up. It's not like, you know, like it's some cheesy stuff. The terror, all the stuff is all universal themes that haven't gotten away yet. I don't believe. I think the movie holds up. I think it's so scary. It is a must watch. Check out Invasion Body Snatchers.
That's a great pick. One of the scariest and one of the funniest, I think, pop culture moments that got reused a lot in other things that I've seen. The Donald Sutherland
point. Yes.
The noise and everything. Like
yes.
That.
What's it called?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
That's me. And my boys hitting towel on a Saturday night.
I was like, he's heard of that. I know he's heard of
this. He like
Snatchers.
Loved the movie when he first said
Oh, doctor.
You know what? I'm gonna make this about myself.
Yeah.
I want you all to give me a recommendation to watch a movie
for what? Okay,
just like one of a classic. I don't want like no scary.
Have you seen? Scary, have you seen? Everybody Wants Some.
Never heard of it.
You'll love it. You played college baseball, right? You'll love it.
Everybody Wants Some.
Yeah, it's about like a college freshman arriving on a Texas campus, like his first week. He's living with his teammates, all baseball players, and it just runs through the whole week. Him going to different parties, chasing this girl. It's awesome. Glenn Powell's in it. Zoe Deutsch. Wyatt Russell.
People you'll know.
Okay. Yeah, it's awesome.
You?
I'll give you the one I was about to recommend because I do love this movie and I think it's one you could definitely get behind. Sicario's on Prime. Sicario is one of my favorite movies. I know you weren't
a huge fan. It's okay.
Sicario, it's like a movie about sort of like FBI drug combating the drug trade in Sinaloa and in Juarez, and it's Emily Blunt, Josh Brolin, Benicio del Toro, a whole bunch of other great actors involved, like Daniel Kaluuya as a supporting role.
Did you see that picture someone posted of Sicario like a month ago? Someone posted a picture. It was like from them, like when they're eating at that restaurant, Daniel Kaluuya and Emily Blunt, but they like heightened the effects and made it look like a rom-com because they're like smiling at each other.
I have seen that. I know exactly what you're talking
about.
They
gave it like no context. Yes. So everyone's like, what is this movie? Like people who haven't seen Sicario, they're like, what is this? Looks fun. Looks nice.
Nope, not fun or nice. Very cool, very dark movie. It's by Denis Villeneuve. You've heard of like Dune when it came out, right?
Yeah.
Same guy who did Dune, a bunch of other really good movies. I'd recommend anything Denis Villeneuve to you. But Sicario is an awesome movie. Crazy gunfights, really good tension. The border crossing scene is still like one of my favorite scenes.
Very good scene. Yeah,
like I can't even tell you how many years. Awesome sequence. Part of the Frontier trilogy from Taylor Sheridan. Did Hell or High Water, Sicario, and that really does look like a rom com. Damn,
it does. Yeah,
and did Hell or High Water, Sicario, and Wind River. You seen Wind River?
Nope.
Might say even Wind River instead of Sicario. It's a simpler thing to understand.
I mean, Hell or High Water, I think he'd like that too.
Hell or High Water is, I think, a little. There's so layers to that.
Have you ever watched Yellowstone?
No.
No. It's the same guy who wrote Yellowstone, but before he started making
people love
soap opera, country TV, he did make very good movies.
I would say Sicario and then Wind River. Okay. The same
Wind
guy
River's
wrote
very
both, both very,
yeah.
very good movies. So Sicario on Prime. So, and what was one of you have to give a classic movie?
Yeah. Have you seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Nope.
Steve Martin and John Candy?
It's a classic Thanksgiving movie.
You would love it. Yeah. You would just be rolling on the floor laughing. It's right up your alley. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I watch it every Thanksgiving. It's just a nice movie that's very funny and holds up so well.
Does hold up.
John Candy, Steve Martin.
I like, I'm going to watch all those. I like drug movies.
You like drug movies?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know the show Power?
Yes.
Fuck.
You're going to love Sicario.
You, definitely Sicario then, if that's the case. Yeah.
Wait, which one's, what's the one with the white guy that's is it Power Book, the show?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I always see commercials for it. I'm like, what the fuck
Mac
is this?
Power Book?
That's Tommy. That's the Power Book of Tommy.
Is that related to?
Yeah, it's like a spinoff of Power.
Oh, okay.
There's a spinoff of Tyreek as well. I watch all.
I thought that was Gary Owen when I first saw him. Do you know Gary Owen?
Yeah, he looks exactly like him. Yeah, and I thought it was him too.
Gary Owen, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't know why black people love him so much. I don't get it. Either. And he's not funny.
No, at all.
Not even a little bit. Okay, so our picks are Marty, you have War Dogs, The Menu, Don't Worry, Darling, Gucci, you have Practical Magic, Interview the Vampire and Young Frankenstein, Clemmer, you have It Follows, Us, and Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I have The Night Comes for Us, If Beale Street Could Talk, and Sicario. All great picks. I highly recommend watching any of these. These are all great movies.
You gotta watch them.
Well,
yeah, I do.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised you haven't seen it.
I know, it's not for any reason, just a blind spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I recommend going to watch any of those. But until then, we'll see you next week with some new recommendations.
And now it's finally time for our review of Fair Play. We did have Jeff back for this one, so enjoy.
All right, Lights, Camera, Barstool review time. We're talking Fair Play, a Netflix movie starring the likes of Alden Ehrenreich and Phoebe Denver. Came out on Netflix, has very middle-of-the-road audience scores for Rotten Tomatoes, pretty high critic scores, though, 87% and then 51% for audiences. Divisive movie in terms of what people think about it. I'll give you the quick synopsis. An unexpected promotion at a cutthroat hedge fund pushes a newly engaged couple's relationship to the brink. If you peruse Rotten Tomatoes, you will see they do reference it's got a very 90s feel in terms of the type of erotic thriller, workplace type thriller that you'd get back from that era. I didn't give it a passing grade. I didn't particularly care for this movie. I think the style is lacking a lot. I gave it a 64 out of 100. I did not enjoy it. Pulls in a lot of nostalgia. Feels very similar to 1990s movies, which, again, I know Rotten Tomatoes said that, but I think a lot of people reviewing have kind of noted that it has that feel. Some riveting stuff. Storylines gets intense at times, but I think it just, it lacks the punch in style that is needed to deliver a story like this. Like, I think the acting is fine. We'll get into prose. I think the acting is definitely in the prose side, but it just did not really hit for me. I really didn't enjoy this movie at all.
Wow. That's surprising. I really liked it.
Oh, wow.
I really liked it quite a bit. I remember I texted you guys after I watched it. I was like, this is like one of my, probably like in my top 20 of the year. It's honestly probably even higher than that. Right now, I have it like an 89. That's right.
Wow.
So I'm way above
Holy
you guys.
Shit.
I think this movie does a lot of very, very cool stuff. And like you mentioned the acting, I think the acting, this is two of the better performances of the entire year.
I would agree on that. I think for me, that's like the main reason why like I found it more than watchable. I do think they're great. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think is it kind of more so than in another movie. That is what kind of like helps it on a whole for the score, because the entire movie is based around them in such an intimate setting acting. So it influences the total overall score way more. Like, you know what I mean? Than some big action set piece or some big spanning all the bits. You're kind of just, this movie's kind of just like a play. You know what I mean? And it's just two actors going head to head and both of them absolutely crushed it. And there's a lot of other stuff I really liked in this too. I'm shocked you guys, and I'm assuming you're going really low too, but we'll get into it in the meat and bones of the pros and cons. I really liked Fair Play though. I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, no, I'm actually in between you. I'm at a 72 out of 100. So it is a passing grade. I do agree the acting was phenomenal, especially in spots where I don't think either of the leading roles were particularly easy, because it's a lot of internal conflict. But like Jeff said, I do think it lacked style, and we'll talk about it, but I fucking hated one of these main characters so goddamn much, to the point where it was kind of like, at one point I'm like, goddamn, I might have to turn this off and come back later because I'm getting too frustrated. But 72 out of 100, I do think it's well made. I just wish there was a little bit more.
Interesting.
We'll talk about it. And I'll talk about like my feelings, my negatives and cons, but I do think 64, 7. Yeah. I think it, we have to start with pros. Pros wins out here. I think they're great. They are both great. I can't fault either performances. And I don't know where we stood on Alden Ehrenreich like 5 or 6 years ago or whenever Solo came out, but I do think we've seen more than enough from Alden Ehrenreich, especially in recent, like, last 2 or 3 years, we saw him in Oppenheimer, small role, but great.
Okay,
he's a good actor. He needs, I'm an Alden Ehrenreich guy. And Phoebe Denver is good as well.
Yeah. I think that's the first thing I've seen Phoebe Denver in.
Yeah, she's a Bridgerton star, right?
That's why. Yeah, I watch
Bridgerton. So, yeah, I didn't really know what to expect from her, but I thought she was, yeah, fucking crushed it. Like I said, the role demanded her to show a lot of internal conflict on her face, and she did about as good as you can ask. Like, you can see her, you know, wheeling through, like, all of her emotions in so many different scenes.
Yeah, and there's, like,
I did just pull up her, sorry, I pulled up her filmography on Rotten Tomatoes just to make sure there's, like, nothing we forgot that she's not in. But yeah, Bridgerton. But then it also says guest Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show has a 47% of Rotten Tomatoes. That's so funny to me. I don't know why. That's just
is that from critics or audiences?
It's only audiences. But I just it's visually very funny to say. Sorry. Continue, Kendra.
Yeah. So I got all my pros written out, and the first being I really like the setting, like the financial world, because the financial world I think is super, at least to us as being like so removed from it, very hyper cutthroat. And to me, the way they presented it, it was almost like a spinoff to like a Succession or something like that, right? Where like you're in this very intense, very calculated world where everything moves very fast. People are very like quick to emotion because of the stakes involved in everything. And I really did like that, and I like that they kept things technical enough with the financial shit that they didn't dumb it down where it's like, hello, fellow kids, where, you know, we were just talking about with like the creator.
Oh, okay.
Where they're like, oh, hack everything or whatever. Like, they never got that dumb. They kept things technical enough where I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about, but that sounds right. You know what I mean? And like, this thing sounds like they could be a real conversation. And I think, again, Aaron Reich and Denver were near flawless performances, and their chemistry was weirdly very, very good for, like, again, one person I've never seen before and another person I've never seen in like a really romantic sort of role or whatever you want to call it, like that sort of relationship dynamic before. And I think that the relationship dynamics in this were incredible, because that is, I think, how all three of us would feel to an extent in put in that same exact situation of like, if you're again, number one, listen to this movie, don't shit where you eat. Like, if your fiance got promoted to a position that you were supposed to get, and like there's all these other dynamics to it, like he was sort of like a nepo baby kid or whatever, like there's all these things at play, and I think they played that all out really, really well. And like you were saying with Denver having to work through all these things, there's so many different layers to all of these conversations and all of these moments where like she is empathetic to him, because not only is she the one that told him he's getting the promotion, but she's like also like, I earned this, I deserve this. And then also she needs to like work through all these other things, like managing the faces, like when he's acting out and she knows he's pissed, she knows like all these things, having to like save face and still kind of be the like the boss more or less. Like, yeah, there's so many layers to that performance, and especially for him as well. Like, and that to me, I think was super impressive the way they scripted that, and then also the way that both of them performed it, because it is very intense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And also Eddie Marzan, I love this dude.
Eddie Marzan is about as good as I've ever seen him, dude, be.
Every time he shows up, he's just like, I know this guy's about to be a fucking rat. I
know. He is scum.
Just a rat actor, and he's always crushes it. He was so good.
He was great here.
But yeah, and I really, there's so much I think to really love about this movie. There is one massive con, which to me takes it away from being like, holy shit, you got to go watch this. But I'm sure that we'll talk about that. I'm assuming if you guys have the same issue.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think the pros are very clearly, even if you don't love the movie itself, like they are like, they do put in great performances. I think there's really no doubt about that. Cons for me, though, we can go into cons next, because I think it's just style. It's just, for me, it's the look and feel of this movie just feels so dull that it can't carry how intense, because the movie's fucking intense. Like, the story is intense, but I didn't love the look of the movie. It just is missing something. And it actually made me go back and watch like trailers and clips from old, like kind of these like erotic 90s thrillers. And there's just something that it is lacking. I don't know what it is. Like, it's just lacking a substance and visual style to it that makes me not feel that connected to it. I don't know what it is. I just could never get into it. I could never get into the movie.
I almost kind of liked the way that they stylistically put it together, because this world,
well, some people loved it. You're not alone on that at all.
Yeah. Like, this world, I think, of like the financial bullshit world, like that is so like blue filter dull. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is like what that screams to me. And the same thing even like with Succession, for example, like kind of color drained out a little bit and dull, because it's something that I think most of us don't understand, that it's so cutthroat and robotic. And like that part of their lives, which you see in like when they're at work and everything, that part of it is very zeroed in. And then when they get back, they're like back to being normal human beings. And I think that it kind of lightens up a little bit then, at least maybe saturation wise. I don't really fucking know. But yeah, I think that that kind of worked for this case. And yeah, I'm not expecting it to, they say erotic thriller in this, right? I'm like, yeah, sure. There's erotic.
Do.
I don't feel like it was an erotic
thriller. I don't either. Like
I get it. Like I fully get it. I've seen people say that it's not at all. I'm like, I guess you're saying the same thing, but I don't know.
I think they build it to be,
I see what they're going for. They're going for that.
What was that Michael Douglas movie with, like, I think it was Carrying Moss or something, where it's like that was, like, to me, they did the play about it and something. And Kimmy Schmidt, fuck, I forget the name of it is. But like all those 90s erotic thrillers, I feel like go for a very different vibe than I think this is going for. And I think billing it as an erotic thriller was wrong. I don't think that that's what this movie was. And I don't think they should have presented it that way. Maybe they thought more people would click. They're like, yeah, people are fucking in this. You got to come watch. Like, that's not, I don't think, really what it was. I don't know if that's just me, but like, I don't think that's what they're shooting for. At least the director anyway.
Yeah, no, I didn't see the erotic thriller. I mean, the sex scene was nice.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, speaking of Michael Douglas, it's not
Basic Instinct
or fucking Fatal Attraction, stuff like that.
Fuck, what's it called? It's a good one.
But I think it feels like that's what they're going for, at least. Like, it feels like that's like the trope and that's like the style and feel they want. I don't know. Succession's not a bad example as to like this type of setting, but Succession's also laced with so much humor that I think it cuts into what at times can be like a dull looking office and conference room. Where this, it's so fucking intense that for me, it's like, and rather negative at many times in the movie. Like, it just takes it down too many levels for me to even remotely enjoy, is kind of the wrong word. It's not like very enjoyable subject matter, but for me to really connect with it on an emotional level, it's just so down and dour. And that includes the look of it, that I just couldn't vibe with it. It's like, as much, I think it wanted you to, I think they wanted to go for that. I can see the argument you guys are making that it's not.
Yeah. I think they
build true.
Yeah, I don't think they build that correctly, because that's what I expected too, just based off of like the previews and stuff like that. Like, check out Netflix's new erotic thriller. Like, it's not really. It's kind
definitely
of
related. Yeah, I think. I mean,
it's just basically a drama.
Yeah, thriller is probably the word out of the two words. I'd say it's probably more erotic drama. There's definitely an erotic. I mean, it's relationship erotic. Like, yeah, thriller. I'm okay if you take out the word thriller, but like, it's trying to harken to those 90s movies to an extent. Like, it still feels like that's the world they want it to live in.
I'll be honest, it
never really hit for me.
My biggest frustration, I alluded to this at the start, was just Alden Ehrenreich's character in general was just so frustrating to watch as a man who. That is my dream life right there. And he's just like, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. It's like, dude, you have a wife pulling in $500,000 bonuses on a Wednesday offering to put you up in a Soho hotel. You're acting like a little bitch boy listening to Joe Rogan's podcast. I don't even.
That's what I think they set him up right for, is that he's like this Nepo baby kid that, like, he expected to be the guy. You know what I mean? He wants to be the dude, and he doesn't respect her enough to think that she could do that.
They set it up perfectly. But the character, I just hate so much. It's like in Order of the Phoenix with Dolores Umbridge. Mm-hmm. It's like, that is a great character. Does not change the fact that every second she's on screen, I want to rip my fucking eyeballs out, my ears out, and quit watching the movie because I hate her so much.
Because we're dirt poor and we expect, like, that's what the world that we want to be in. And like, he has always been in that world and he doesn't, like, it means nothing to him.
Also, another thing, she gets a $500,000 bonus. What are you still doing in that fucking apartment?
Yeah.
Move out the next day. The next day. Get out of that shithole. I don't know where she was staying. Somewhere deep in Brooklyn. I don't know where it was.
That was crazy. But yeah, I think the biggest con for me is that the ending for this movie was good. It was not for this movie. You know what I mean? Like, this would be a great ending in a different movie. But I feel like it was a cool scene. It was cool lines. Like, I'm done with you. Get it. Like, all that shit. It so violated the more grounded level that the first, like, three-fourths of this movie kind of establishes. You know what I mean? It's like very like, hey, these are rich people or whatever, but it's more of like a, like, you can like see the situation from a grounded level. And then that is like so over the top. And I feel like that's where like the thriller part they try to add in. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, you have this one movie that's doing so well through these three-fourths as what it is, which is more of a drama. You know what I mean? Just like a straight up relationship drama. And then the last like 10-15 minutes, they kind of just shoehorn in. No, it's really just the last 10 minutes. They shoehorn in, thriller. We got thriller here. We got crazy lines. And that kind of violates the spirit. You know what? And even just after saying that out loud, I think I'm going to bump my score down a little bit. I think I'm going to go down to like an 84 after even just saying, because that really does piss me off the more I think about that ending, because it just so they had such a great thing going until that last 10 minutes. And they're just kind of like, let's just fucking make it a thriller. Why not? And that to me is just so dumb.
See, I felt like they were trying to give like Phoebe Denver's character like her big moment. And that's kind of like how they got there.
But that's not it's so not in the spirit of the movie. You know what I mean? That moment.
Yes.
Like that moment would be really cool in a different movie. You know what I mean?
Especially in relation to Denver's character, who's so under control.
Exactly.
The movie, so like calculated in everything she does to pull out a knife. And start. I mean, obviously I wouldn't blame her for pulling out the knife, but it was kind of like a betrayal of like who she was throughout the movie.
Just a betrayal of the spirit of the movie. Like through the first, it's very, very like you could see this being a real situation that happens, right?
Oh, for sure.
But then like also you got someone fucking stabbing somebody. And then like, yeah, you're no longer in the realm of like sort of reality. And that kind of, it just kind of fucks it up. And then I think that for what they established through those first, like that beginning, like again, majority of the movie, that kind of pisses me off. No, I'm thinking about it. It's pissing me off more and more.
You know, I that Luke hated The Last Jedi. He was a big
TLJ guy. Yeah,
I just like they're unlikable to I think probably into intent, and I think it's so down in terms of like the emotion and the mood of the movie, again intentionally, but for me it just descends into such an unlikable level where I don't have that substance and style in terms of what I would like for to kind of, I guess, cross paths with like what they're trying to tell story wise, that it just pulled me out of it. I was like, this is just miserable for me to watch. Though again, the reason why I even gave it what I did is because I do think the acting is good.
I was like, I think again, two of the better performances of the entire year.
Yeah, like, they were
so impressed, especially like Aaron Reich, the levels he gets to, and like obviously Denver too, but like Aaron Reich, the levels he gets to based off of what we've seen from his career so far are crazy.
What do we call thoughts?
What do we call the Alden Aaron Reich comeback?
Can there even be a comeback?
Aldenisance?
Yeah. No, second Reich.
Fair Play is definitely one of, I think Fair Play is one of the better Netflix releases that you'll see. Whether you love it or not, I think comes down to how well you connect with what's fairly divisive material. It's a pretty intense movie, may not be for everyone, but I think we can definitely agree that the acting was solid.
Yeah.
Solid acting in the movie.
Eddie Marzan, you fucking rat. I love you so much.
He's a rat.
And Toby Jones are like two sides of the same coin. You know what I mean? Short little rat man. It's like, but Toby Jones can be lovable and Eddie Marzan can't.
The head shape.
Yeah. 64 for me, 84 from Ken Jack.
Yeah.
And then the middle, kind of right down the middle. It's Gooch with a 72.
Yep.
Just say 74, so we're 10 off on each.
Yeah.
No.
Bump it up.
It doesn't deserve that.
That's like our version of Scorigami.
Yeah.
I want them to remake this movie, but do it in like the sports gambling world. Like some dude's wife just becomes
just describing Uncut Gems, basically.
I did, by the way, that's the thing I saw a lot of people compare to, which really pissed me off. I didn't want to reference it. I'm glad you guys brought it up. A lot of reviewers are talking about comparing it to like Uncut Gems and Safdie, and I was like, I Uncut do not Gems get that.
So frantic and fucking crazy and anxiety inducing. It's not even close to this.
That's maybe the best. I should have brought that up. Uncut Gems and Good Time, like those are negative, down, depressing, like not very good story in terms of what's happening. But the style is so, it's almost intoxicating for a viewer. It's unbelievable to look at that. I think completely contrasts with the story and why it works so well, especially Good Time. Uncut Gems is, well, it's fucking Uncut. They fucking dies in the end. It's not like Uncut Gems is positive. Good Time, I'd probably give it a little more like down and negative, but again, the style of what the Safdies do makes those also so great and work, where I think this one just lacked that.
I don't think the Safdie brothers style would fit at all with a movie like this. Just way too.
Maybe not, but there's at least a
storyline.
Right, maybe not the Safdie style, but like there is a style that's noticeable with those, which contrasts to the story.
I think it works with the Safdies because the stories are so ridiculous and this is so normal that I think if you stylize it too much, then it becomes something other than what it is, which is supposed
maybe
to be a kind of normal thing.
Could have been worse. You're right. I could be dead wrong. Could have been worse. But I just thought, I was like, I just kind of felt bland. I don't know. Kind of felt bland. I mean, it's better than most Netflix things, though. That's for sure. Better than most things they drop on their platform. Like, it's definitely, like, if you're going to watch things on Netflix, this is up there. Though, so was the horror movie. That was very enjoyable, too. I know you guys talked about.
Totally Killer? That was Prime.
Totally
right?
Killer. Yeah.
Prime, yeah.
Yeah. They release some good things now and then. That's it. That's our review of Fair Play. Johnny Fair Play. Not a biopic on the Survivor contestant, the legend himself.
Legend. You know, more people should know Johnny Fairplay. I think he is, to me, way more, and this is just someone that's not a Survivor fan at all. I think I think of Survivor. Like, that's when I think of Survivor contestant, Fairplay.
Fairplay, Boston Rob. Johnny Fairplay's back was broken by Danny Bonaducci at the Porn Awards.
Yeah, that's anybody right.
Threw him over his shoulder. Yeah, because I think Fairplay tried to kiss him or something, or he like humped him.
Yeah,
that's just a different era. That's just we don't live in that time anymore.
What was this? What's this series called? Danny Bonaducci was like Breaking Danny or some shit. You know what I mean? It was like,
oh, I think I know Breaking Bonaducci, right?
Breaking Bonaducci, yeah, yep,
yeah, yeah. Stupid. That's it. Killers of the Flower Moon next week. That's a big review.
Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. See, very, very excited to see that. It's gonna be a tough one. How many times do I pee during that 3.5 hour long movie? It's gonna be very interesting.
Yeah, you need a catheter for that one.
I may piss in the seat. Just fucking should wear a diaper to the movie. No, very, very excited for that. High expectations, and I would be shocked if we didn't like that movie. Mm-hmm. It's Marty, baby. All right, that's it. Kind of back to normal next week, podcast-wise. Everyone back in the fold. For Ken, Jack, and Gooch, I'm Jeff D'Lo. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.